take up to 12 weeks, nothing treats warts faster or more effectively than Wartner. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the lower 90s this evening. Mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. For Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid 90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy still with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 79 under clear skies as well. Stay tuned for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Steve Largent, President and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Association.
These days, drivers face all kinds of distractions.
Welcome to Wonder Burger. Can I take your order, please?
I'll have a double cheeseburger, a large...
Come on now, boys. You're going to have to settle down. It's really hard to concentrate with you fighting like that.
Before your wireless phone becomes a distraction, stop. Drive safely. Never take notes or look up phone numbers while you drive. In bad traffic or weather, save your call for later. Dial sensibly and use a hands-free device.
Sorry, it's really bad out. I've got to hang up.
You know, your wireless phone can be your best safety tool to call for help, stop a crime, or help someone in need. However you use it, remember, with wireless, safety is your call.
The wireless industry reminds you to drive safely. For more information, visit www.wirelesssafety.org.
Monday morning at 8, our guest is Ellen Trammell, field representative for the Missouri Public Interest Research Group. A new movement is underway called Expose Exxon, and you're going to hear about some of the outrageous tactics the nation's biggest oil company has engaged in to keep the public enslaved on oil dependency. Why isn't this company using record-high profits to develop cleaner sources of energy? Why hasn't it paid fishermen the damages they won from the Exxon Valdez oil spill back in 1989? Don't miss this lively debate Monday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I have three children, and I've been raising my 16-year-old sister.
Mary Gallagher and her family shared a two-bedroom apartment with eight people. Now Habitat for Humanity is helping her build a simple, decent, affordable home of her own.
When we first found out that we were getting a Habitat home, it was like a dream. I kept saying, don't anybody wake me up.
Not only is Mary helping build her own home, she'll buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage to keep it affordable.
Habitat came out and built my home. And when Mary started building her house, I wanted to come out and give a hand.
We're not just building Mary's house, we're building a neighborhood.
There's several more to be built this year, and I look forward to working on each of their houses and seeing the joy of their face when they open the doors to their brighter future.
Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit habitat.org.
I feel very blessed. God has answered all of my prayers. We are home.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't fly George W. Bush with the
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Monday morning on the Wake Up Call, we have a wonderful visit scheduled with Shimmy Gray. She's the new women's head basketball coach at St. Louis University. Now, this is historic because she is also the first black women's basketball coach in the history of the school. She's a delightful lady, and you're going to find out all about her. Shimmy Gray, on the Wake Up Call, Monday morning at 7. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. In the next hour, I'm very excited. Shimmy Gray, the new women's basketball coach at SLU. She's a woman of African descent. First one. This is exciting news. This is very, 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 something very exciting. And you don't want to miss that in the next hour. Shimmy Gray. Y'all need to welcome her and embrace her. And let's do some exciting things here in St. Louis. When it comes to women's basketball game, women's basketball, college basketball, because she's fixing to do some exciting things. So, this story that I'm going to bring to you right now is just, it just makes you holler. It's like, honest to goodness. You know, this is a story that just says, would you please just stop? This is just crazy. But when you think about it, it's not, when you think it through, when you hear about it, you're going to say, well, it's not unexpected, but it's still going to make you say, this is crazy. This just crazy. In Saipan, that's not something that you get to by, getting in your car and driving east. In Saipan, Northern Mariana Islands, the Philippines. Okay, let me say that again, just so that you can feel where I am and feel this. In Saipan, Northern Mariana Islands in the Philippines. Picture this. A young woman jogging at sunset. Jogging on the white sands of a palm-fringed beach. Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? This 17-year-old Audrey O'Brica. She's such a pretty woman that she is going to the Islands Miss Philippines contest. Pretty woman. And while she's jogging to tone up, to make a good showing at the Miss Philippines contest, she also has in her mind another reason for her wanting to get in shape. Army recruiters have been there. They are now scouring the fertile ground in the poverty pockets of the Pacific. Ain't that some stuff? Military recruiters, because American kids are saying H-E double toothpicks, no. American recruiters are now going to American Samoa, Northern Marianas, all United States territories. Now check this out, and think about this when you remember our little baby, Lavina, 19 years old, who was just laid to rest after being killed under crazy, suspicious circumstances in Iraq. Know this. The Army has found fertile ground in the poverty pockets of the Pacific. The per capita income in American Samoa is $8,000 per capita. It's $12,000 in the Northern Marianas. It's $21,000 in Guam. In the Marshall Islands and the Micronesia Island, former trust territories that we had, per capita income is $2,000 a year. So not only are they getting people, but they're getting people on the cheap. You don't have to offer these folks $50,000. You don't have to offer these folks $50,000. Oh, no. Per capita income is $2,000. The Army minimum signing bonus is $5,000. Starting pay for a private first class is $17,000. First Sergeant Olympio Magnofoma, who grew up on Saipan and oversees the Pacific recruiting for the Army from his base in Guam, he says, and I quote, and as I give this quote, I can honestly say that my stomach is turning. He says, you can't beat recruiting here in Micronesia. In the States, they're really hurting, he says, but over here, I can afford to go play golf every other day as I sign up the body bags. That's my quote, not his. here where, quote, America starts its day. The American recruiting station in Guam has four of the Army's top 12, as they call them, producers. While small in number in real terms, enlistments from Guam, Saipan, American Samoa are the nation's highest per capita. Saipan, with a population of about 60,000 American citizens and green card holders, has 245 soldiers in Iraq. Oh, they're going after green cards now. It's okay now, huh? American Samoa population of 67 has lost 67,000 has lost 6 soldiers in Iraq. Guam has lost 3. Saipan has lost 1. I see yellow ribbons everywhere, says one staff sergeant from the Army recruiting station in Pago Pago. Come home signs almost litter the streets. But despite the casualties, poverty and patriotism fuel enlistments. I buried one myself, said the Reverend J. Quinn Whistle, the Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Samoa, Pago Pago. But it hasn't stopped the recruits from going in. There's a very strong sense of patriotism throughout the U.S. territories. How else can you explain someone like Ray Umol sitting in a Northern Marianas congressman who has been a sitting Northern Marianas congressman who has spent a year serving in Iraq? Yeah, there's patriotism, but the bottom line is there's the M-O-N-E-Y. Arnold Basiala, who took the aptitude test in late June, said it's the benefits. While he was taking a break from his $3.25-an-hour job at McDonald's. It's better than staying on this island. There's nothing going on here. I'm 19 and I've never even been to Guam. I think the story here is that McDonald's is paying $3.25 an hour. One man, the son of Filipino immigrants, De La Rosa, says he he thinks that to those on the outside looking in, Saipan may look like a paradise, but for a restless teenager, it may look like a dead end. There's hardly any life on this island. They live in a society where land ownership and government jobs are largely the preserves of the indigenous Chamorro and Carolinian groups. Here it is not what you know, but who you know. But for teenagers who think that they are invincible, the brakes on their desire to join the military comes from their mothers. One child that was trying to enlist, during the interview, the mother kept her arms crossed. I think about that. I heard about that Jessica Lynch, and I thought, my daughter, no way. The scary part is that if you go to Iraq and someone shoots you? That's what one young man said as he's sitting there waiting to be called back. The young man worried about how he fared on the aptitude test. He turned to the young woman and said, they called you. back. Why haven't they called me? Poverty and patriotism, fertile grounds for the United States military. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We have much to do, much to say, much to talk about. Stay with me.
I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up. Cause a new day will come. And look to the sun, even when the darkness shall come. Oh, 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 oh.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the History Channel. Westbound 70 at Mid River Small Drive, two right lanes remain blocked after an earlier bus fire. Route 79 at Highway YY, just north of Louisiana, Missouri, there's a report of an overturned vehicle accident going on there. Northbound 55 between Imperial Main and Rivas Barracks, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Lewis to the Merrimack River Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 between Long Road and Ballast, nothing reported. Northbound 270 from Sappington all the way to Manchester, everything's on the move as well. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge to Lindbergh, expect normal traffic for your 6:30 commute. Westbound 270 between Lilac all the way into Graham Hanley, nothing to report there. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Mid River Small Drive, look for stop-and-go traffic due to westbound incident. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge is slow at the I-55 exit lane. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for normal traffic. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from Laclede's Landing, everything's on the move. Northbound Route 3 onto the PSB, no problems to report there. Route N between Drake Lane and Bridal Trail in Franklin County, there's no return vehicle. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the History Channel. The History Channel has scoured the country in search of the strange, the freaky, and yes, the weird. Watch Weird U.S. tonight at 9 on the History Channel. Weird U.S. is rated FWH for freaking weird history. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, mostly sunny. High in the lower 90s this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. For Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Visit the St. Louis County Library on Friday, August 5th from 2 to 4 p.m. for an appearance by Doris Christopher. Doris is the president and founder of Pampered Chef and the author of a book about her company. She will be reading from the book and signing copies of the book for fans. Admission is free. For more information, call 314-994-3300. News to you from WGNU.
Monday morning at 8, our guest is Ellen Tramiel, field representative for the Missouri Public Interest Research Group. A new movement is underway called Expose Exxon, and you're going to hear about some of the outrageous tactics the nation's biggest oil company has engaged in to keep the public enslaved on oil dependency. Why isn't this company using record-high profits to develop cleaner sources of energy? Why hasn't it paid fishermen the damages they won from the Exxon Valdez oil spill back in 1989. Don't miss this lively debate Monday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Wednesday, September 15th, 2004. September 11th. He sat there reading the paper. As he reached out for the cup in front of him for a sip of tea, he could vaguely hear the sound of an airplane overhead. It was a bright, fresh day, and there was much he had to do. But the world suddenly went black. A colossal explosion and then crushed bones under the weight of concrete and iron. Screams rose up around him, men, women, and children. Shards of glass sought out tender, unprotected skin. He thought of his family and he tried to rise, but something inside of him was broken. There was a rising heat and the pungent smell of burning flesh mingled sickeningly with the smoke and the dust. And suddenly, it was blackness. 9/11, 2001, New York, World Trade Center. No. 9/11, 2004, Fallujah, an Iraqi home.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine love the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Get out your favorite pain medication. Point your browser to Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen at WGNU.net.
Monday morning on the wake-up call, we have a wonderful visit scheduled with Shimmy Gray. She's the new women's head basketball coach at St. Louis University. Now, this is historic because she is also the first black women's basketball coach in the history of the school. She's a delightful lady, and you're going to find out all about her. Shimmy Gray, on the wake-up call, Monday morning at 7.
What's your number, baby? This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, we can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 4540400 is my phone number. And, We need, there are so many things that we need to address. There are so many things that we need to address and understand that
It all comes down to fighting. It all comes down to understanding it. And I have asked this question. I've raised this question before. Is it that we really have to reach the bottom before people start realizing and fighting to keep what we have? Are we so complacent in the few things that we have that we're convinced that it's enough and it'll be there forever? I was listening to a story about the lore distributors and the union battle that's being fought. Lore wants to pay less. The workers want to be paid as much as distributors for AB are paid. They want to keep there. They don't want to have to work more for less. And the story was talking about how the union fight hasn't really caught on in St. Louis. The people are still drinking their AB burr. They're crossing the picket lines and not feeling this strike thing. And what is interesting to me is that here we are in a strike, in a union town, right? No Walmart in the territory of St. Louis City. Not with all these union workers. Not going to get a Walmart up in here, really. I think it's fascinating that to be in a union town and lower distributors not even talking to the press, that's how comfortable they feel in paying their workers less. Now, then we have to talk to the stinking press. And while you may not be able to track this directly back, but I remember... This is not a union town. This is a selectively union town. They pick a couple of unions that they get crazy about. But for the most part, and it seems, depending upon who makes up those unions, they don't give a squat about union workers. And I trace this back to, or at least I use this as an example. I remember when all of the strife was going on initially with Roberti coming into town and taking away all these union jobs in the St. Louis public schools. And the Labor Tribune stood silent on that. Has always stayed silent. Not only have they stayed silent, they've stayed compromised on it. They got contracts for PR for the schools. So they stayed silent and compromised as the unions within the city of St. Louis public schools, the second largest, if not the largest employer in the city of St. Louis, lost thousands of jobs. Thousands of jobs. They stood silent in front of that. You want to know why the grocers' strike didn't work? Y'all weren't beating the strike drum. Y'all weren't supporting folks. You didn't support the children in public schools. The grocers didn't get much out of the workers for the employees, grocery employees. Didn't get much because despite this being a union town, it is such a selective one. Is that zero efforts? Plus zero interest equals zero results. people ain't going to get fired up about unions because you haven't been firing them up when you had an opportunity. Union supporting people's strikes, supporting people's issues, keeps the issue in front of the public. Now when people look at people out there with little picket signs, they just think, oh, that's cute. I remember that back in the 60s, and they move on. We have to move on here. We have to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I have some sad news to tell you. You remember Jim Hill? You remember our elder Jim Hill? He passed on last week. I just thought I'd pass that on to you. Jim Hill. We'll miss him. He was ill for quite a while. He hadn't been able to call in for a number of years. But y'all that are listening, frequent listeners to the Wake Up Call, you know who I'm talking about. He passed on last week. Stay with me.
Global News Update. Dateline New York. Time magazine is saying this week that somebody in the White House already knew that Joseph Wilson was the husband of CIA operative Valerie Plame weeks before an op-ed piece by Wilson appeared in public on July 6, 2003. This means that Karl Rove and perhaps others found out about it from within the White House instead of, as they claim, from the media. Rove has so far said he first learned of it from reporters. Time says the CIA Public Affairs Office got a request about Wilson's trip to Africa from a Washington Post reporter the first week in June of 2003. That office then contacted the division Plame worked in because they had sent Wilson to Niger. However, no internal report was ever created. Sources indicated that Under Secretary of State Mark Grossman asked for a memo on the trip and got one from the State Department, as did Colin Powell and perhaps Deputy Secretary Dick Armitage. The Post ran its story about the trip a week after the inquiry was made, which was almost a month before the disclosure was ever made about Valerie Plame. And Dateline Washington, it looks like black people are not wanted as guests on national talk shows. A recent survey by the Urban League conducted over the past year and a half shows that out of some 2,100 guest opportunities on Sunday morning network talk shows, only 176 were filled with African-American guests. That's a measly 8%. And in the spirit of the old adage about no qualified applicants, out of those 176 appearances, 122 of them were Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, and Juan Williams, a regular member of Fox News Sunday. Network officials say they get their guests on the basis of who is making news, and most of them just happen to be white men in the upper ranks of government. Another study last year by a group called Journalists of Color revealed that 90% of the Washington Press Corps is composed of white men. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Hi, my name's Frank. I'm the pedestrian you just passed back there. Yeah, you were going pretty fast. I don't even think you saw me. But it was partly my fault. I was on the cell phone too. It's actually funny because I drive sometimes myself, and I know how easy it is to get distracted with all those irresistible gadgets like dual-zone heating systems and in-dash computers and satellite radio stations. I mean, what's so interesting about a pedestrian? Well, for one thing, I could pop out right in front of you when you least expect it, or I could be a kid chasing a dog. I could be in a hurry. Of course, I try to be safe. I use the crosswalk, so I wait for the signal. I look both ways, and before I cross the street, I make eye contact to make sure you see me. But once in a while, either of us could make a mistake. So next time, let's, look out for each other.
A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. For more on driver and pedestrian safety, visit AAOS.org.
Nice seatbelt, by the way.
Tuesday morning, the wake-up call welcomes Vivian Stromberg, executive director of MADRE, the International Women's Rights Organization. A new constitution is being written right now in Iraq, but the first draft clearly shows a religious leaning that will again leave women subordinate to men. This would be a step back from one of the most progressive status laws in the Middle East. How would American-style democracy be available to the women of Iraq under such law? A frank discussion on this subject with Vivian Stromberg of MADRE, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed, but the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to the shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Monday morning on the Wake Up Call, we have a wonderful visit scheduled with Shimmy Gray. She's the new women's head basketball coach at St. Louis University. Now, this is historic because she is also the first black women's basketball coach in the history of the school. She's a delightful lady, and you're going to find out all about her. Shimmy Gray, on the Wake Up Call, Monday morning at 7. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Oh, there've been times that I thought I could last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I want you to check out my website. LizBrown.com is live and online. Please, 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 my favorite is Blogitude.stl. That's a blog with an attitude. Check out Blogitude.stl. That's Blogitude St. Louis. Check out the Blogitude. My Blogitude. We have a Blogitude, which is for national, international issues, and then we have Blogitude STL. Check out Blogitude STL. I think
you're going to like it. I think some folks are not going to like it, but I think you're going to like it.
And get to the column this week. They never got to. Get to the website. Get to LizBrown.com. LizBrown.com is up and live and well. Blogitude. I don't have a blog. I have a blog with an attitude. Blogitude. Blogitude STL or Blogitude. Get to it. I'm looking forward to your comments. Please check out Blogitude STL. Tell me what your comments are on that. It's so pretty. The design, our designer is brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. Get to LizBrown.com. I'm looking forward to your response. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. You're on the air. Dolly.
Liz?
Yes, are you on a speakerphone?
Wait a minute. Let me get this thing up. I'll get this. Okay, Liz.
Yes.
Did you hear about that young man over there in England? They got a hatchet in his head by some white men chasing this little black boy down.
It's a horrible, horrible, horrible racist act in England, and I will share that story in just a few. But as a teenager, excuse me,
a gang of men murdered this African baby with an axe.
Yes.
An unprovoked attack near his home in Liverpool. He was an 18-year-old college student killed by a single blow. The blow was so hard, the blow was so heavy that the axe was left embedded in his forehead.
Do you know, did they ever find the people, or did they even look for them? Let's say, put it that way.
They're saying that they don't have an idea of who did it.
And the funniest thing about it, I only heard it once. Mm-hmm. A tragedy like that on this news all day long Sunday, I was trying to look for it. Didn't hear a word. Not on the stations I was listening to.
They put an axe in the baby's head so deep and so hard that the axe stayed in the... And understand, they didn't do an axe from the back. They did an axe blow from the front. They wanted him to see them before he died.
Did his parents say anything about it? Or?
Well, what we have so far, and this is an article not coming out of an American paper. Now, understand that this was the people are being hunted by the police. This happened on Sunday night. Saturday night. This happened Saturday night. They said that this young boy was studying for his A-levels, wanted to be a lawyer.
Huh.
His girlfriend and cousin saw him and ran to get help. They saw him get hit. And minutes later, they returned to find him slumped on the ground with an axe embedded in his head. He was taken to the hospital where he died at 5:25 Sunday morning.
Now they're going to find all those terrorists. Everything was listening to a terrorist. Terrorists here, and they found all of them, and they can't find these guys who killed that little boy.
Mm. But killed by these terrorists.
By the terrorists.
These terrorists. I mean, if you want to find the definition of a terrorist, wouldn't that be somebody that would embed a hatchet in the forehead of a teenager?
Well, I call that a terrorist.
That's absolutely a terrorist.
Definitely a terrorist. And it don't have to be a Middle East either.
That's a fact.
This is right there in England.
That's a fact.
And that boy has nothing to do...
Now, understand, while this neighborhood has not had the bombs, this is a neighborhood where there have been numerous incidences of racist terrorism. And people had come to the police. They had begged the police to do something, and nothing had been done.
That's not right. That's the way they do.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, good morning.
How did you hear about Mr. Hill?
I talked about it earlier this morning.
Yes, I heard you was... Mm-hmm. Yo, we were just talking about him. He was one of the great listeners and call-in talk show. We would always call him the talk show host himself.
Mm, he was a sweetie. He was a sweetie.
Yes, he knew the history of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly did. He would always be at the Christmas party and bring so many people with him. He is missed. We were just talking about him up to the station last week.
Mm.
Hi, it's Mr. Hill.
Mm.
Thank you.
454-0400. Check out Blogitude STL. I'm telling you, y'all need to check out LizBrown.com. I'm so excited. I just want to thank Mark Carroll, just a fabulous designer. Oh, my goodness, the website looks beautiful. I don't have one blog. I have two blogs, Blogitude and Blogitude STL. You need to check it out, folks. I want to get your comments. Get on over to LizBrown.com. That's LizBrown.com. And in our next hour, Shimmy Gray, new women's basketball coach at St. Louis University, the first woman of African descent basketball coach. We're going to be talking to her in the next hour. That's an interview you don't want to miss. This is part of history. That's what we do. That's kind of how we roll here on the Wake Up Call. We make history. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Stay with me.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King.
was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress has been made. If you take a measure of my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas.
That's beautiful. Okay,
Discovery astronauts Stephen Robinson and Soichi Noguchi are about 40 minutes ahead of schedule in replacing a faulty gyroscope on the International Space Station. Noguchi said at one point, "The view is priceless. I can see the moon." NASA could announce today what it's going to do about a strip of insulating material that's poking out from under one of the thermal tiles on the shuttle's underbelly. ABC's John Berman has more on that from the Johnson Space Center.
If NASA decides the gap fillers need to be repaired, it would take a spacewalk. Astronauts could either push the filler back down from in between the tiles, they could lift out the gap filler altogether, or they could try to cut it with special scissors. The fear is, though, that in trying to fix it, they could make the situation even worse.
This is the seventh day of the shuttle mission. World leaders are offering their sympathy with this morning's news that Saudi Arabia's King Fahd died in a hospital in Riyadh. He was 82. His half-brother, Crown Prince Abdullah, is the new king. ABC's Hoda Abdelhamid reports from Cairo.
The Crown Prince has actually been the de facto ruler of the kingdom for the past 10 years. King Fahd had had a stroke in 1995, and since he hasn't been ruling the country. So that was a pretty easy succession.
King Fahd was regarded as an important U.S. ally, but ABC News Middle East consultant Fawaz Jerjes reminds us that after Fahd allowed the U.S. to open military bases in Saudi Arabia,
that particular decision was a catalyst in the creation of Al-Qaeda.
Oil prices are past $61 a barrel with news of King Fahd's death. The cabaret singer known as the incomparable Hildegard has died. Hildegard Loretta Sell was born in Wisconsin, and her career covered more than 70 years. She was 99 years old. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's making Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please.
Federal health experts say the outlook is improving when it comes to American kids and vaccinations.
I need you to roll up your left sleeve for me.
Adults have a way to go, according to the Centers for Disease Control, who say not enough grown-ups get flu shots and other recommended vaccinations. But 8 out of 10 young children have been vaccinated.
Vaccines are safe and effective, and they do prevent disease.
David Newman heads the National Partnership for Immunization, which is spending the entire month urging Americans to get their shots. And while some critics say some infant vaccinations can cause autism, health officials say there's no evidence to support that. Bill Greenwood, ABC News, Washington.
Horrible car crash near Ann Arbor, Michigan. Police say a driver apparently ran a stop sign and crashed into a 1929 Duesenberg worth $1.5 million, killing a man and wife, their young son. Two other kids were hurt. The other driver was not injured. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Police are investigating the death of a man found in a lake at a North St. Louis park. The man's body was recovered from the lake Saturday morning in O'Fallon Park. The victim's name has not been released. No details are available on the cause of his death or whether foul play is suspected. A state health department study finds that leukemia rates aren't any higher in the Weldon Spring area than in the rest of Missouri. The study was done amid continuing concerns that children from the area are contracting leukemia because of the Atomic Energy Commission's processing of uranium ore and thorium in the 1950s and 60s. Health officials say they will continue to monitor cancer rates in the area. There is some good news for the Hazelwood Ford plant. Mark Kaufman, a spokesperson for the Ford Motor Company, says the company expects the new 2006 Ford Explorer to require two assembly plants.
The production volume that we're estimating for this program does require two assembly plants at this point in time. Obviously, there's an investment in the St. Louis plant in Explorer.
Kaufman says the new SUV has an estimated 10% improvement in fuel economy and a new 292-horsepower V8 engine with a 6-speed transmission. The 2006 Ford Explorer is expected to sell for approximately $27,000. And finally, doctors are now using a medicine to treat drug addicts. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration held a seminar last week on new ways to battle patients' addiction to heroin and prescription painkillers. Michael Coutte, the director of Missouri's Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, says the cost for the drug buprenorphine is about $10 a day. Unlike methadone, he says the treatment does not produce a high, so there's no street value. Within the past 3 years, Congress granted a waiver to physicians to prescribe this drug to opiate addicts. Did you know mosquitoes don't live through the winter, but their eggs do? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKINMAN for $30 off your first pest control service. That's the news for the 7 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Westbound 270 between New Florissant and Graham Hanley. All roadways are reopened after an earlier stall. Expect a slowdown, however. Westbound 44 at Lindbergh. All roadways are opened up after a tractor trailer has been cleared. Eastbound 70 between 5th Street and the Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction. Only two left lanes are getting through this hour. Traffic slows from 94 to 5th Street. Beginning Tuesday evening, crews will remove the work zone to close only the far right lanes. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and Germania. No problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way into Lindbergh. Look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center all the way to Mason. Look for normal traffic this hour. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 255 from Telegraph all the way into Lee May Ferry. Look for normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Mid Rivers Mall. Look for stop-and-go traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Lindbergh. You've got heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. Look for slow volume there as well. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect slow traffic. Westbound 64 at the 5570 interchange. Look for normal traffic this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Everything is on the move. Northbound Route 3 onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for no problems to report in your 7 a.m. commute. Kings Highway at 40, look for a medical emergency as there's a person down, limp at Pestalozzi, there's a vehicle on fire, and westbound 255 at Illinois 157, look for road construction. having various lanes closed to remove and replace expansion joints over the Prairie du Mont diversion channel. Two lanes will remain open at all time. Also in both directions, Teslon Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois look for paving operations, and you may see a bit of a slowdown there because of some lane alterations. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer exit is closed through August due to construction. You can use Kings Highway Market or Grand exits to get around that construction area. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. Job description, guarding America and defending freedom. The Air National Guard is looking for someone like you. Great training and college benefits available. Get more info. Go online to goang.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny today, a high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Monday morning at 8, our guest is Ellen Tramiel, field representative for the Missouri Public Interest Research Group. A new movement is underway called Expose Exxon, and you're going to hear about some of the outrageous tactics the nation's biggest oil company has engaged in to keep the public enslaved on oil dependency. Why isn't this company using record-high profits to develop cleaner sources of energy? Why hasn't it paid fishermen the damages they won from the Exxon Valdez oil spill back in 1989? Don't miss this lively debate Monday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, LizBrown.com is on. We launched it. We love it. I hope you love it, too. Oh, get on to over to LizBrown.com. That's LizBrown.com. Check out. We don't have a blog. We have a blogitude. And not just a blogitude, but a blogitude St. Louis as well. So get on over to LizBrown.com. Let me know what you think. Tell me, do you like me? Tell me if you like me. Now. Of course, because this is the Wake Up Call, we're going to make a little history this morning. We're going to have a conversation with Shimmy Gray, the new women's basketball coach at SLU. Shimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks.
Very good. You're the first.
I'm the first.
You're the first. Let's take a walk backwards, okay? Let's start before you became a coach, because when we look at your bio and look at your history, I wouldn't think that being a coach of a women's basketball team was on the list of things to do.
It certainly wasn't when I started out, that's mm-hmm. for sure. I wanted to be a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
I got my degree in criminology and sociology, and when I graduated from college, I became a police officer.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that, and how did your, was your family down with that? Is that something that was a history in your family, or what made you decide to become a cop?
You know, absolutely not. As my mother put it, I can't believe, you know, I've got a family full of outlaws, and now I finally have a sheriff. That's what she said. So,
are you the only girl in your family?
I am not. I have an older sister, but I'm the youngest.
Okay, so you're the youngest, and you decided to be a police officer. Where?
Well, I'm originally from Flint, Michigan.
Okay.
Went to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. So I found a job in the police department in Ypsilanti, Michigan, which is somewhere in between the two cities.
How long were you a police officer?
A little bit over 2 years.
What was that like?
It was interesting, Liz. Mm-hmm. You know, to be 22 years old and to work the midnight shift, you know, on the south side of the city. And within 1 year, you name it, I've seen it.
Mm.
And it really takes its toll. It really can affect you, especially
mm-hmm.
being so young. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not really sure I was mature enough to handle some of the things that I was seeing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that anything that you experienced as a cop prepared you for your next move?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, there's this, I believe, a misconception about police officers. You want to be physical. You want to be hands-on. Well, really, the best cops are those that are the best communicators.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with coaching. I have 15 players. They relate to me in 15 different ways. They respond to me in 15 different ways. So I have to learn how to communicate with each of those players individually.
Mm-hmm. And maybe kind of being a police officer, you walk into a scene, you're able to look and to anticipate and to figure out, you know, what's happening there. Does that help you?
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
One of the aspects of law enforcement that really intrigued me was the dynamics of the field. I could be sitting in my car completely bored 1 minute, and then the next second get a call and racing down the street doing 80 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the same with being a basketball coach. People think I come in, I work for 2 hours, I practice, I have a whistle, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, that could be the furthest thing from the truth. And in one day, in one 12-hour day, I could be doing 50 different things.
Mm-hmm. So what made you make the move to be a women's basketball coach?
I missed basketball, Liz.
Uh-huh.
I miss it. I thought that being a police officer would give me that feeling and that sense of being a part of a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, it's got to be similar to basketball, or so I thought. You
mm-hmm.
know, we're on a team. We work together. It's a physical job. We wear uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that way at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I really missed basketball. I missed the competition, and I missed athletics.
Because you played.
I played.
Mm-hmm.
I played.
Who did you play for?
I played for University of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and then I played a little bit overseas. I
mm-hmm.
played in Portugal, and then I did a semi professional stint.
Kind of a love and basketball type of a thing, you know, where she played overseas a little bit.
Except there was no love, no hot guy for me. But, yeah, the basketball part, and
mm-hmm.
sitting there watching TV and you had no idea what anyone was saying,
mm-hmm.
very much the same.
Mm-hmm. So how did you do it? How did you make the jump to coach from cop?
Well, the first thing I had to do is I had to lose all my donut weight.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a trainer. Mm-hmm. I just quit the force. And that actually wasn't as hard as it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
I just went in one day and said, you know, I can't do this anymore. And this
How
is
old
not,
were you then?
I was 25.
Okay.
And I said, I cannot do this anymore. I had friends on the force who'd been on the force for 10, 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and they were bitter and cynical and sarcastic, and
mm-hmm.
I did not want to become that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just got up one morning. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I called my mother first, and she said, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked in, and I resigned.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried very hard to keep me. I was the only African-American female on the department. And
How big was the department?
About 30 officers.
Mm-hmm. And you were the only?
The only African-American female.
How many other females were there?
Six others. There were seven of us total.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only African-American. And, you know, so they did not want me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I was their black cop.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tried hard to get me to stay, but I had made my mind up.
Were there other men, African men on the
There were.
How many were there?
About six.
Okay. So.
And they were like my big brothers.
Okay.
They took care of me.
So how did they feel when you made the decision to hang up your belt?
You know, they were very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
They were extremely supportive because they know the nature of the business, and they knew that they had saw me start to change.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did they see in you that was changing?
You know, it's when you become a cop, Liz, and you're wide-eyed, and you just really think you can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
You really do.
Mm-hmm.
And you see cops that are cynical and that are bitter, and you say, that's not me, and I'm not going to become that way.
Mm-hmm.
And what they saw was that, yes, I was starting to become like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little sarcastic, a little clicky,
mm-hmm.
meaning that when you're off work, you only want to hang out with other cops
mm-hmm.
because you feel like
they understand
mm-hmm. what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they wanted their little sister to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quit the force. I got a job that entailed me to be able to train during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I trained for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, why was that necessary for you to engage in that kind of a training process?
I had a lot of donut weight, Liz.
You
know, working midnight shift, you're not, you want to sleep during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gained a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also a mentality. I had to get my competitive edge back
mm-hmm.
as well.
So how long did that take you?
About 6 months.
Okay.
About
so you're
months.
You're training during the day, you're working at
I'm
night.
I'm working at night.
You're getting ready to do this thing. So what's the first... Is there a phone number you call to become a coach? How does that work?
Well, actually what happened is I started playing again
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played for 2 years and hurt my knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an offer to go back overseas to play in Croatia the second year, but
Croatia and basketball.
Oh, have you ever been there?
No.
Oh, it's a beautiful country.
Get out of
really
here!
It is. It really is, and they love African Americans over there. I think it's because they never see any. But
I'm just trying to put all this together. Black folks first. Basketball second in Croatia.
Yes, yes. I went there in the summer for a couple weeks with a basketball team. We toured and
mm-hmm.
we played some games over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking around and they were calling me the female Michael Jordan, which I don't think it had anything to do with the way I play. Trust me. You know, probably because they haven't seen too many black, you know, basketball players
uh-huh.
over there. Michael Jordan is what they equate.
What they do,
to,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
But I had an offer to go back and play
mm-hmm.
On one of the clubs there, and then I hurt my knee
mm-hmm.
at the end of that tour. So I decided, well, coaching still entails me to be a part of the game.
So while you were training and while you were playing, coaching is still in your. That's still the goal,
right?
Okay.
Ultimately,
okay.
when I'm all done playing,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I can't play, then I'm going to coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just happened a little sooner than mm-hmm. I thought.
Are there things that you have to do in terms of preparation? Like, I went to law school.
Mm-hmm.
You go to law school in order to be a lawyer. Are there courses that you take? Are there things that you are supposed to do in order to put on your resume to qualify you to be a coach? How does that work?
You know, they now in college, I just had a player at the University of Arizona. She's graduating, and she has a minor in coaching.
Mm-hmm.
A minor in coaching. And so she takes principles of coaching classes.
Uh-huh.
She takes some communication classes. Me, it was not like that.
Okay.
And what I found is that sometimes it always helps to have that playing experience.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, sometimes the best players make the worst coaches
mm-hmm.
and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So with me, my coaching comes about because I have a passion for the game. Mm-hmm. I love basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were not coaching, I would be watching it mm-hmm. somewhere or wishing I were coaching or wishing I were playing. Mm-hmm. I love it. And so when I'm able to take that passion and channel it into a career or an occupation, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I'm very blessed.
How do you... I don't understand when I watch basketball games, because I'm not really all that sports sophisticated and,
okay.
and understand it. Where does it come from? How are you able to, like, look at the court and to know what you're supposed to be doing, know who you're supposed to send, and know what you're – where does that come from?
Well, I've been playing basketball or part of this game all my life
mm-hmm.
as far back as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's very much like you. When you walk into a courtroom, you know. And when you're giving your closing arguments, Liz, you know what you're supposed to say, and you know what's going to affect the jury. And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very instinctual, but you also
but
can...
But see, I have these books that I can look at, and I can look at this and say, well, this is what I'm going to say based upon all of this.
Well, I have books, too.
Yeah, but I just think it just seems almost mystical in some respects of being able to look at this fast-moving, ongoing... running up and down the court type of thing and know what to do. It's mystical.
You know, the more you watch,
mm-hmm.
the more you learn. I am definitely a student of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I watch basketball. I watch the NBA, the WNBA, college, high school. You know, I'm always watching. I'm always reading. I go to conventions every year. I'm always thirsting, for new knowledge of the game and that which I'm able to transfer into what I do.
Mm-hmm. So how did the connection between you and SLU happen? What's the story behind that?
Well, the SLU job came open, and I was aware that someone had told me that, and I said, well, is that a good place to work?
Mm-hmm.
Or the former coach there, what was the problem? And so
the former coach left.
She had been there for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and she was asked to leave
mm-hmm.
Because of the direction of the program just
mm-hmm.
just wasn't going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it like that. So in 10 years they had 2 winning seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So someone had called me and said, "Hey, the SLU job is open. Are you interested?" I'm an assistant coach. I've been an assistant coach, and so I was. I felt like I was ready
mm-hmm.
to make that move to head coaching.
And how long had you been an assistant coach?
Oh, 6 years.
Okay.
6 years. And so... So
you were ready.
I felt like I was
yeah.
ready,
mm-hmm.
And
where were you an assistant coach?
I started at Bellevue Community College.
Mm-hmm.
From there, went to the University of Washington in Seattle.
UW, yeah.
And from there, University of Arizona.
Okay.
So, I kind of inquired a little bit about it, but... I wasn't too. My season was still going on at
mm-hmm.
the time, and I really wasn't too serious. But the word was that it was a good job. You could win there.
Mm-hmm.
Great place to recruit to. It's a great university. They just need the right person.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't think anything more about it, Liz. I'm in the NCAA tournament now, preparing to play LSU in the second round this year, and I get an email from sports information director at SLU asking me if I'd be interested.
Get out of here.
And, I'm assuming that Cheryl Levick had a ton of people apply for the job.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they actually approached me
mm-hmm.
When I really had no intention of applying for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so they approached me, that I'm all about, I'm very spiritual, and I believe that everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
And so I was very flattered.
Mm-hmm.
I called him right away and let him know that, we were getting ready to play in this tournament and that after my season with the University of Arizona was over, I'd love to talk to them about
mm-hmm.
the position.
Okay.
And we went from there.
So when you came to SLU, and had you ever been to St. Louis before?
I have.
Okay.
I came here in 2001 for the Women's Final Four.
Okay. What did you think of St. Louis?
Great, great city.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also been to the campus the year before for a Nike All-American camp,
mm-hmm.
and I had a chance to walk around the campus. Beautiful campus,
mm-hmm.
gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all about the city. I'm a city girl.
Okay.
And so living in Tucson, Arizona for the last 2 years was killing me.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis is a great city. There's a lot to do here. It's very cultural. It's very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely intrigued.
So you got to St. Louis, and how long did it take them to say, please, 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 please stay?
It took a while.
Did they?
Yeah, they put me through the ringer. They were...
That ain't right. I mean, you know, you call me. What do you mean taking your time?
The first step was a phone interview.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing worse than being on a conference call with five people that you have no idea who they are.
Because it's not the same as, like, being in the same room, feeling
not.
The vibing off the energy, looking people in the face, you know, doing the body language thing.
I mean, I was cracking jokes, uh-huh. and it was silent.
The room was cold.
And I'm like, okay, tough crowd. Yeah. Are they not getting it?
Uh-huh.
Or are they looking at each other going, what are we doing?
You know, you almost like want to holler through the phone, like, are you feeling me? Are you feeling
yes.
me?
Yes. Yes, so it lasted about 45 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and I hung up the phone going, well, that was that. So really surprised when I got a call back
mm-hmm.
A couple of days later saying that I had made it to the next round.
Okay, so the next round?
The next round was a one-on-one interview
mm-hmm.
With a senior women's administrator,
mm-hmm.
and that was conducted in her hotel room. I went to the Final Four in Indianapolis, and so they had told me, if you make it to the next round, you'll be meeting with an administrator there, so be prepared for it. So I brought a suit, and I prepared myself just in case, and I got that call while I was in Indy. So that was another hour-long interview,
mm-hmm.
just a one-on-one
mm-hmm.
type meeting. Really wasn't sure about that, and then left Indianapolis, went to Seattle for a wedding,
mm-hmm.
and then got a call that I had made it to the Final Four.
And we're going to take a break, folks. I am talking to Shimmy Gray, new women's basketball coach at SLU. We're making history here. She's the first black woman to be the coach at SLU. This is Liz Brown. Wake up call. Check out the new website, LizBrown.com. Please hit STL, Blogitude STL. Check that out. I'm on my way back. Stay with me.
Looking back. You know it's hard.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the History Channel. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Germania. No problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Antire all the way to Merrimack River. No problem to report there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for slow volume there. Northbound 270 at 44, look for traffic to be flowing freely. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh. No problems to report there as well. Eastbound 70 is slow after K all the way to Highway 79. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 from Florissant all the way into 170. Look for slow traffic in the right lane as you approach the exits to 170. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow volume there. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Normal traffic is expected. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Look for everything to be running smoothly. Northbound Route 3 onto the PSB. Those approaches look good this hour. Lemp at Pestalozzi. There's a vehicle on fire. Westbound 255 at 157 over on the Illinois side. Look for various lane closures due to replacement of the expansion joints over the Prairie du Mont diversion channels. Two lanes will remain open at all times in both directions. Tesson Ferry and Lindbergh and Graboy. Look for paving operations. And southbound Lindbergh at Lee May Ferry, look for road construction. The left lane is closed, as well as eastbound 40 at Vandeventer. That exit is closed through August due to construction work. You can use Kings Highway Market or Grand Exits to get around that area. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the History Channel. History Channel is secured, has scoured the country in search of the strange, the freaky, and yes, the weird. Watch Weird U.S. tonight at 9 p.m., on History Channel, Weird U.S. is rated FWH for freaking weird history. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny today, high in the upper lower 90s. For this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. For Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear conditions, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75 as well, under clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Tuesday morning, the wake-up call welcomes Vivian Stromberg, executive director of MADRE, the International Women's Rights Organization. A new constitution is being written right now in Iraq, but the first draft clearly shows a religious leaning that will again leave women subordinate to men. This would be a step back from one of the most progressive status laws in the Middle East. How would American-style democracy be available to the women of Iraq under such law? A frank discussion on this subject with Vivian Stromberg of MADRE, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Wednesday, September 15th, 2004. September 11th. He sat there reading the paper. As he reached out for the cup in front of him for a sip of tea, he could vaguely hear the sound of an airplane overhead. It was a bright, fresh day, and there was much he had to do. But the world suddenly went black. A colossal explosion and then crushed bones under the weight of concrete and iron. Screams rose up around him, men, women, and children. Shards of glass sought out tender, unprotected skin. He thought of his family and he tried to rise, but something inside of him was broken. There was a rising heat and the pungent smell of burning flesh mingled sickeningly with the smoke and the dust. And suddenly it was blackness. 9/11, 2001, New York, World Trade Center. No. 9/11, 2004, Fallujah, an Iraqi home.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Monday morning at 8, our guest is Ellen Trammell, field representative for the Missouri Public Interest Research Group. A new movement is underway called Expose Exxon, and you're going to hear about some of the outrageous tactics the nation's biggest oil company has engaged in to keep the public enslaved on oil dependency. Why isn't this company using record-high profits to develop cleaner sources of energy? Why hasn't it paid fishermen the damages they won from the Exxon Valdez oil spill back in 1989? Don't miss this lively debate Monday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We are talking to Shimmy Gray, the new women's basketball coach at SLU. Shimmy, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
Shimmy, what is that?
It's a nickname.
Nickname. Okay, from...
Yashimbra.
Yashimbra, how pretty. What does
Thank
that
you.
Mean?
I knew you were going to ask me that. My mother got that from an African cookbook.
Very good.
And Yashimbra Asa is the name of the dish.
Uh-huh.
And Yashimbra actually means chickpea.
Okay. Oh, how cute. I like that. So, okay. We've got you to St. Louis. We've got you hired as a coach. You are the coach. So because you all engage in, from my perspective, mystical, and you have these mystical abilities in order to be able to coach teams, tell us what your vision is of the SLU women's basketball team.
My vision is quite simple, to build, not rebuild. But in my opinion, when you've gone 10 years and you haven't really had any kind of a winning tradition, you have to build.
Mm-hmm.
So my vision is to build a winning program, something that the alum, the administrators, the students will be proud of. And in the process of building that winning program, I want to help mold young girls into young women,
mm-hmm.
Who will be productive when they graduate, regardless of whether they play another minute of basketball. And this is what I try and tell my ladies all the time. 10 years from now, trust me, you are not going to remember how many points you scored or how many minutes you played or didn't play. You are only going to remember, you know, your experiences and who you had an opportunity to impact during your 4 years as a student athlete. And so that is what I want them to carry on with them.
So when you are you in the recruiting phase right now?
I am.
So when you're out there looking, what does it take to be a player for Shimmy Gray's team? What do you got to have?
First, you've got to have talent.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have talent, then I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now I look past the talent.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of talented young ladies out there. But I'm looking for passion. I maybe this is a bit egocentric of me, but I am looking for players who remind me of myself,
mm-hmm.
out there.
Why is that?
Because I know that they care.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that they love the game. Because I know that they're going to put the team first,
mm-hmm.
in whatever they do. So I'm looking for that kid who is just emotional, who's fired up, who's passionate, who looks like she is enjoying,
mm-hmm.
the game. The player who's on the bench and she's still cheering for her teammates.
Mm-hmm.
The one who, when a teammate falls down, she's the first one to run over and pick her up.
Mm-hmm.
The one who stares intently when the coach is giving instructions. Those are the type of kids that I'm looking for.
And are you looking for a particular, coming from a particular team, coming from a particular part of the country? Does that factor into it?
Well, it does for me,
mm-hmm.
because first and foremost, I want to keep the best players in the area here.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me when I took this job here and I found out that all these great players from the St. Louis area have gone to play at Notre Dame or to go to Oklahoma.
Why do you think that
or go
is?
To Stanford. You know, because they want to win,
mm-hmm.
and there's been no winning tradition here, and these kids are competitors, and so ultimately that's what it's going to come down to is this university committed to winning?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that with Cheryl Levick, the new athletic director, in place here, yes.
Well, let's talk about the relationship with you and Cheryl. What kind of relationship has to exist for SLU to win?
Cheryl and I need to be on the same page,
mm-hmm.
and we are.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that really attracted me to this job was Cheryl. I mean, quite simply, if Cheryl were not the head of the program, I probably would not have taken the job.
Mm-hmm.
What
is it about her?
I keep going back to that P word, but she's passionate,
mm-hmm.
and she has a vision. She knows what it takes to be successful. She was an administrator at Stanford for 12 years, so she's won a national championship there. So she knows what needs to happen, and she's about that. She's a class act,
mm-hmm.
all the way. She's a classy lady.
What kind of tools does the university give you to go out and to bring young women to your team? Because, like you said, 10 years, it's not a winning record. You got to have some incentives. You got to have some carrots. You got to, besides, you know what to look for, but what are you going to be able to offer these young women to get them to be part of your vision?
Well, right now, Liz, this is what I told my staff, we are selling ourselves right now. We are selling ourselves, and we are selling this university. We don't have a nice arena to play in right now. Mm-hmm. My kids don't have a nice locker room right now. I don't have my offices at Arizona were bigger than my office here as a head coach. All that's going to change. We are in the process right now of fundraising for this new arena that will be built. But in the meantime, in the interim, we have to go out and we have to sell the tradition of St. Louis University, and we have to sell ourselves. I'm selling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, look, you know, if you want to go to a great school and in the process be a part of something special because we are going to blow up, then you need to come to St. Louis University. And so far, it's working.
And we are talking to Shimmy Gray, new women's basketball coach at SLU. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Check out LizBrown.com. We launched. We did it. It's today's August 1st. That means that, oh, yeah, LizBrown.com. Check it out. We'll be back with Shimmy Gray. Stay with us.
Spend it all. I have not money. We make it before we see it. You take it. Oh, make me wanna holler the way they do my life. Make me wanna holler the way they do my life. This and never, this and never.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Jerusalem. An Israeli cabinet minister says he is fearful that half of the Jewish settlers scheduled to be pulled out from Gaza in August will not leave, making it necessary for force to be used against them. A total of 9,000 settlers are to leave under the disengagement plan. Housing Minister Isaac Herzog says a large number of mobile homes have been placed in southern Israel to handle the evacuees, but he still fears half the settlers may not leave because only 750 out of 1,800 that are set to be evacuated in this first round have applied for relocation funds. He said if they do not leave during a 48-hour grace period beginning August 15th, they could lose their entitlement to grant money totaling up to $6,000 to cover relocation expenses. They could also lose out on more money that's payable based on how many years they lived in their Gaza or West Bank settlements. And Dateline Washington. It looks like President Bush may get his man John Bolton after all without the need for a confirmation hearing. Sources say the president is likely this week to use a little-known constitutional power and make a recess appointment while Congress is on August break. That could happen either today or perhaps tomorrow. Bolton failed to gain the approval of enough senators for a vote on his nomination to the UN earlier, but Bush is insistent that he become our representative because of his hard stand on American interests. During those hearings, Bolton was accused of manipulating intelligence and bullying staff while he was Undersecretary for Arms Control. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Your civil liberties are going down the drain. A new report by the Justice at Stake campaign examines how courts are no longer able to guarantee a loss of civil liberties in the name of national security. If you thought the Patriot Act was bad, just wait till you hear the ramifications of Patriot Act 2. And hear them you will Wednesday morning at 9 with Bert Brandenburg, Executive Director of the Justice at Stake campaign, on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Jazz in heaven. In New Orleans, we know they do. If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Monday morning at 8, our guest is Ellen Trammell, field representative for the Missouri Public Interest Research Group. A new movement is underway called Expose Exxon, and you're going to hear about some of the outrageous tactics the nation's biggest oil company has engaged in to keep the public enslaved on oil dependency. Why isn't this company using record high profits to develop cleaner sources of energy? Why hasn't it paid fishermen the damages they won from the Exxon Valdez oil spill back in 1989? Don't miss this lively debate Monday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and I am talking to Shimmy Gray, the new women's basketball coach at SLU, the first African woman to be a basketball coach at SLU. Shimmy, we were talking off the air about this fabulous opportunity that you have. This women's basketball is in a very, very special, women's college basketball is in a very special place right now. Women's basketball in general is in a very special place right now.
Absolutely. It's time. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about the changes and the progression that has been made since I played, you know, in the last 10 years, it is amazing. I was telling you how at University of Washington, some days we would walk out into the arena and play in front of 8,000 fans mm-hmm. in a 10,000-seat arena. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You talk about doing something positive, you know, for these young women to walk out and see this, it instantly raises their self-esteem mm-hmm. and their self-worth.
And powerful memories for the rest of their lives.
For the rest of their lives.
So what do we have to do? Tell us where we're going to start from. Now they've hired you. You are recruiting. You're bringing the players in. Where are we starting from in SLU in building the community connection to women's basketball?
I am big on getting out in the community. Mm-hmm. And I think in the last 3 months, I've probably been out more than I have in my career as a basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, last night I did a volunteer. I was served food for the St. Vincent's home.
Mm-hmm.
There was a auction mm-hmm. and fundraiser going on. So I spent 3 hours standing up in high heel shoes. My feet were killing me, serving Sundays,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's very important that I'm visible.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that my kids get out in the community and that they are visible. I want to give back to the community with the hopes that if we're doing that, the community will give back to us and by supporting us.
Well, what are the average number of people that go out and watch a women's basketball game at SLU?
Less than 500 a game.
less than 500, Liz.
That's a challenge. You're going to have, I mean, the university is going to have to do a lot to bring people into this game.
They are. You know, they are. And so far, they have. Mm-hmm. And so far, I've been very impressed with our administration, with our marketing department, with our sports information department. They're doing a great job of getting me out. You know, I know that
we got to get people in.
We've got to get people in.
I mean, and tell people, because we were talking about this off the air, this is just amazing to me. Season ticket holders for women's basketball, what's that? What are the numbers?
18.
They're 18.
Not 1,800.
18.
18.
And what's the cost to be a season ticket holder?
This year, it's $60 for a season ticket.
So tell people why, Shimmy. Make people understand the piece of history that they are going to be engaging in if they come, when they come, to watch women's basketball. Why should they come?
Well, one, come because you're going to be supporting 15 young women, several of whom are from here, mm-hmm. are from the St. Louis community. They need your support. You know, people think nothing of going to a men's basketball game, and they've had a great winning tradition there, and that's awesome. But my girls need some love, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing this because they love the game, and knowing that they are not going to get a multi-million-dollar contract when they graduate. So SLU is their MBA, you know.
Well, you're watching basketball. This is, I mean, you're not watching, you know. This is basketball, and it's good basketball. It's great basketball.
It's great basketball, and it's fun. It's exciting. Whether we win or lose, you will come away from the game saying, "Woo, those girls play hard."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the way they play. And so you're going to want to come back.
And this is something that's affordable for folks. $60 for a season's ticket. You can get everybody in your family a season's ticket and not feel it.
It is, to go to a single game, it's cheaper than going to a movie.
Mm.
It's depending on what, if you rent a new release or not, it could be cheaper than renting a movie
mm-hmm.
from Blockbuster.
Absolutely. And I know you don't charge $7 a bucket of popcorn or anything like that.
Not even close.
So there you go. So how many games do we have in a season?
We'll have about 16 home games,
mm-hmm.
and then of those 16 home games, we're bringing in some great teams. I know that's what I was explaining to you. I'd love to sell out one of these home games. I would love to.
So what game are you looking forward to for your team? What's going to be kind of like the show-me game to show your chops, to show what you can do?
You know, I'll get real with you for a minute. The biggest game on our schedule right now is an exhibition game against UMSL.
When is that?
To me, that's the biggest game. That game is in early November,
mm-hmm.
November 17th, and we have a doubleheader with the men's team down at Savage Center. And that's the only game that we will play at Savage Center. All the rest of our games will be played at West Pine Gym. But to me, that's the biggest game of the year because we're playing against a Division II team who's a very good Division II team, and they've had success. We have to beat this team.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't beat this team, then, you know, it just, it's not a good thing,
mm-hmm.
Liz. So we want to be, I would love for my team to be the dominant team in the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But first I have to be the dominant team in the city of St. Louis.
That would help. That would help.
So this is going to be, you know, a big game for us. It'll probably be the most fans that we have in a game because
mm-hmm.
the some of the fans we hope will come early for the men's game.
So this is also a good PR opportunity. I mean, you want to fill the stands, y'all need to perform.
Yes.
Y'all need to perform that day.
So this is what I've already started instilling in my players.
Mm-hmm.
You give them a reason to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you give them a reason to come back.
So you're practicing now?
Right now my players are doing conditioning,
mm-hmm.
An off-season summer workout plan that they're doing on their own as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will get back together in September. Well, we'll do some more structured practices or individual workouts is what they're called. And then we start official practice in mid-October.
And when are you going to be finished with recruiting?
Well, hopefully I'll be finished with recruiting, and I have a couple offers out to some kids, and so
mm-hmm.
hopefully I'll be done in the next month.
Mm-hmm. So where can people call if they want to support the team?
Call the office
mm-hmm.
at 977-3174.
Let me do this right quick. Andre, you have a question or comment for Shimmy?
Hi, Liz.
Hey.
Yes, I got a comment and a question. First, I'd like to say welcome, Coach, to St. Louis.
Thank you, Andre.
I've been coaching boys 15, 20 years and decided to coach girls, so I take my hat off to anybody that can coach a girls' team and keep them all on the same page. I just think that's, you know, I always thought boys was an honor, but girls is something special. My question is there a junior or senior in the surrounding St. Louis area, Illinois area, that you may be looking at anytime soon?
There's several, actually, several underclass kids, and there's a few sophomores.
You're not going to tell your business, though, are
no,
you?
No, I'm not. But there are a few sophomores that I have my eye on as well.
See, that was a trick question.
Nice try, Andre.
You know what you're doing if you keep everything under your head.
Yeah, you have two black women here. You know you're not going to get anything.
Come on now. You know better than that.
Thanks, Andre.
All right, thanks, Mike.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Well, let me do one more caller wants to get in here. Quick question.
Real?
Yes, quick question for Shimmy. You're on the air.
Good morning, number one fabulous Liz Brown.
Yes, Mr. Davis, you have a question for Shimmy.
Oh, yes, Shimmy. Yeah, do you know Floyd Irons from Vershawn High School?
Yes, I do, actually.
Oh, you have met him already. All right. Well, you are on the right track, Dan. And please give us that number again to call for season tickets and that.
977-3174.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. And I want to thank you all for listening. Listen, you know, if you like the questions that I asked Shimmy this morning, well, I couldn't have done it without Emily Skates, who's been working her work at Broad, made this happen, my wonderful intern, Emily Skates. Shimmy Gray, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to this. This is going to be big. This is going to be good.
All right.
Thank you so much. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. I'll be back in the next hour. Please stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. ABC News has learned President Bush will appoint John Bolton to be the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, doing so in a recess appointment. ABC's Ann Compton reports from the White House.
Clarissa, he's bucking Senate critics who would not bring John Bolton's name to an up or down vote. President Bush will announce this morning he is sending Bolton to the United Nations without a vote. It is called an intra-session appointment, permissible while Congress is in recess, but Bolton would only be authorized to serve at the UN until January 2007. Clarissa?
ABC's Ann Compton reporting. There's said to be great sadness but acceptance in Saudi Arabia, where King Fahd died today at a Riyadh hospital. Fahd's half-brother has been appointed the new monarch. King Fahd will be buried tomorrow evening. Miles above Earth this morning, two of Discovery's astronauts are making quick work of a repair job on Space Station Alpha, replacing a broken gyroscope. The third spacewalk of the mission comes on Wednesday, and that's when they might try to do something about the insulating material that popped out from between the shuttle's protective tiles. Here's ABC's John Berman at the Johnson Space Center.
NASA is considering having a spacewalk to fix this gap filler issue. They could have the astronauts either try to push the gap filler down between the cracks, they could have them try to yank it out altogether, or they could try to actually have them snip it with space scissors.
It used to be one of the most popular diet plans in the country, and now the Atkins Company is filing for bankruptcy protection.
An Atkins spokesman says the company is $300 million in debt. When and if it emerges from bankruptcy, the Atkins company says it will focus on its nutrition bars and shakes more broadly for people concerned about health and wellness.
ABC's Jim Hickey reporting. This is ABC News.
And the pot is up to $500,000.
The Poker Grand Championship. You're gambling with the best, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and it's doing nothing for your poker face.
Oh, I should have used Preparation H. Oh.
Wherever you go, cleanse, cool, and soothe with Preparation H portable wipes. 4 times bigger than Tux pads and individually wrapped to take anywhere, discreetly.
Ah.
I'll raise $5,000. Preparation H portable wipes. Big relief. To go. Use as directed.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services, 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092.
The head of the committee drafting Iraq's new constitution says yes, the document would be ready by the August 15th deadline. There are still differences to be ironed out, as ABC's Miguel Marquez reports from Baghdad.
The Iraqi constitution is becoming much more of a legal document than a document of principles, such as the United States Constitution is. They are trying to codify and define certain laws that the Iraqi society will live under, and many of the groups have problems with the definition of too much law. There's too much law and not enough principle in this constitution, according to some members.
Also at issue whether to change the name of the country. Come September 1st, Japan will impose 15% tariffs on American steel imports, everything from airplane parts to ball bearings. It's in retaliation for duties the U.S. imposed on Japanese products. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by Traffic Law Hotline. Even after signing a resolution declaring itself as somewhat of an eminent domain-free community, the city of Maplewood is still entertaining proposals from developers. Friday was the deadline for request for proposal submissions from developers looking to construct newer buildings and businesses in Maplewood. The three developers who presented their paperwork to the City of Maplewood are Renaissance Projects, Restoration St. Louis, and Rothschild's Developments. The citizens of Maplewood are still hoping to turn the eminent domain resolution into an ordinance at the next City Council meeting in early August. The St. Louis Sheriff's Department will begin processing applications for concealed carry weapons this week. The city began accepting applications last week after a two-year delay due to a dispute over processing fees. Approximately 125 people applied for permits last week. For more information on the permit process, call the St. Louis Sheriff's Department at 314-613-7150. Doctors have a new way to treat drug addicts. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration held a seminar last week on new ways to battle addiction to heroin and prescription painkillers. Michael Coutte, the director of Missouri's Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, explains why a new drug called buprenorphine works.
It's not an addictive medication. It is a drug that is a non-street value, and so that an individual would not be taking the medication in order to get high. It will block the cravings for the drug and gives them an opportunity in order to work through their addiction issues.
In the past, doctors have been prohibited from medicating opiate-addicted individuals unless they were in a methadone program. Within the past 3 years, Congress granted a waiver to physicians to prescribe this drug to those addicts. And finally, there's a hidden health epidemic among African American women. Research shows that African American women are 10 times more likely to be vitamin D deficient than their Caucasian counterparts. Health experts say much of this is due to their darker skin tones, inability to produce vitamin D from sunlight, and that 75% of African American women are lactose intolerant. For more information, call 1-866-MYBONEHEALTH. If you get a speeding ticket, driving while suspended, or DWI, Traffic Law Hotline will give your case prompt personal attention, so call the Traffic Law Hotline at 314-TRAFFIC. That's 314-TRAFFIC. That's the news for the 8 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by DirecTV. Northbound 55 between 270 and Bates. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge all the way to 270. Slow traffic in the right lane approaching 270. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for a slow volume there. Northbound 270 is heavy on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley. Look for everything to be running smoothly this hour. Westbound 270 from New Florissant all the way to 170. You have slow traffic in the right lane as you approach the off-ramp to 170. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for slow volume there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic this hour. Westbound 64 at 5570 split. Look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing on in. Everything looks smooth. And northbound Route 3 on the ramp to the PSB. Look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 30 at Upper Burns Mill. There's a report of an accident, so use caution as you approach those areas. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by DirecTV. Attention cable subscribers, now DirecTV is offering free digital video recorder after a $100 mail-in rebate. Watch your favorite TV shows whenever you like. Call 1-800-DIRECTV and ask how to get your free DirecTV DVR. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Mostly sunny, high in the lower 90s for this evening. Mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, low around 70 under partly cloudy skies. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies will continue with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76 under clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Her guest this hour, Ellen Trammell, a field organizer for Molperg. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning, the wake-up call welcomes Vivian Stromberg, executive director of MADRE, the International Women's Rights Organization. A new constitution is being written right now in Iraq, but the first draft clearly shows a religious leaning that will again leave women subordinate to men. This would be a step back from one of the most progressive status laws in the Middle East. How would American-style democracy be available to the women of Iraq under such law? A frank discussion on this subject with Vivian Stromberg of MADRE, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is in the wound, that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us,
black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways you need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Don't forget LizBrown.com. LizBrown.com. That's what I'm talking about. LizBrown.com. Is on. The new website is up. The new content is on it. You need to check out. We don't have a blog. We have a blogitude. And we don't just have a national, international blogitude. We have a blogitude STL. That's what I'm talking about. Get to the blog. Get to the website. Get to Through Brown Eyes. That's my weekly column this week. Never got to. Is the name of the column. You need to get to LizBrown.com. Check out the column. Check out the blanket drive. We can start getting involved in the blanket drive. There's so much to do on LizBrown.com. Get on over there and let's get it done. We don't have a blog. We got a blogitude. And you know what I mean. 454-0400 is the phone number. Don't forget we broadcast daily on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Also, every day this show is archived at thewhiterosesociety.org. You can find thewhiterosesociety.org on lizbrown.com. Get to whiterosesociety.org where you can get the daily archives of the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about, much to talk about. We've exposed Walmart on this show. We've talked about the horrors of Sodexo and how much they rip the community off and how much they assault it and how much they lie to the community. It's gotten so bad that they're getting black voices to talk to black people about how good they are. People lie. People lie to make money. Walmart is like that. Sodexo is like that. Exxon is like that. And we need to talk about these companies that come straight to your face and lie, look at you in the eye and lie straight to you. They should have a campaign about them. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Because that's what they try to make you feel like. Between 1882 and 2002, ExxonMobil's operations and the burning of its products released an estimated 20.3 billion tons of carbon, or about 5% of global carbon dioxide emissions. I don't think I've seen that on the commercial. We need to talk about exposing Exxon. And with me this morning to have that conversation, to facilitate that conversation, joining us from Kansas City, I suppose that's Kansas City, Missouri, Ellen Tramell, field organizer for MOPERG. Ellen, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Very good. Why do we need to expose Exxon?
Well, ExxonMobil is really moving America backward on energy policy when we desperately need to move forward. It's the only major oil company that's still a member of Arctic Power, which is a special interest group that lobbies U.S. Congress to allow drilling in the Arctic Refuge. it denies the urgency of global warming.
Well, let's just slow down just for 1 second and, mm-hmm. and move back for 1 second, because I want people to understand the Arctic push by Exxon and the singular interest of Arctic power.
Sure.
How many people does Arctic power represent, and how many companies are in the Arctic trying to drill for oil?
Well, Arctic Power is a single-issue lobby group that focuses solely on opening up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for oil drilling. It was originally formed with the four major oil companies, which were ExxonMobil, BP, Amoco, ConocoPhillips, and Chevron Texaco, along with Alaska. All of the oil companies, except for ExxonMobil, have dropped out of it. So it really represents just the executives of ExxonMobil and their financial interests.
So Arctic Power is a organization that is advocating that the one company left in the Arctic that wants to drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is Exxon.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, while other companies probably do have possess some interest, ExxonMobil is the only one that is actively pursuing and putting money into getting into the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Mm-hmm. The other three major oil companies that I mentioned have all left the lobbying group due to pressure from shareholder resolutions and public pressure. And they've acknowledged that the general public does not actually really overall desire to drill in the Arctic Refuge.
And I think, Ellen, the thing that is so just, it's just amazing to me that this is the same Exxon Valdez. These are the same Exxon Valdez people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like they have no shame at all. They have no shame.
Yeah, and considering that they still have not paid punitive damages to the people that were harmed by the Exxon Valdez oil spill back in 1989, and they're now saying that they want to explore the Arctic Refuge for oil drilling, and that they claim they can do it in an environmentally sensitive manner.
Just shameless. They're still trying to get out of the money. How much money do they owe in punitive damages?
They owe $4 to $5 billion, which, just to put it in perspective, is, I believe, about not even 1 year's worth of profit, maybe a quarter of 1 year's worth of profit for them.
So it's not like they're poor mouthing and they can't pay the bill.
It's not going to break the bank, no.
And so this was a result of a trial. Mm-hmm. Citizens sat down and listened to all the evidence and made the decision in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
You all messed this up. You all need to pay. Not only do you mess it up, but you need to be punished because of the way that you messed this up. $4 to $5 billion, and they still haven't paid. Over 10 years ago.
Yes.
And they still haven't paid their debt.
Right.
And they're now saying, trust us, we'll be responsible, let us get back to the place that we messed up to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to understand.
That's about as well as I can explain it as well.
So what else do we need to know about what Exxon is doing?
Well, Exxon has been consistently denying the urgency of global warming.
Mm.
It funds junk science, which is basically scientists that will try to muddy the conversation around specific issues, and with this one, global warming, saying that they can't actually link it to the burning of fossil fuels or human activity, despite all of the scientific evidence that proves otherwise. They're working to block efforts to cap global warming pollution, and actually ExxonMobil is the only company that in 2001 met with the State Department to discuss global warming and the Kyoto Treaty.
Say that again.
In 2001, ExxonMobil met with the State Department to discuss global warming and the Kyoto Treaty, and it was the only oil company to do so.
And again, I have to go back, Ellen, to this is the company that hasn't paid its bill.
Mm-hmm.
For the damages that they did with the Exxon Valdez. This is a company that has refused to pay its debt, and they get to sit in on the discussion of this.
Mm-hmm.
And to make that happen, that has to be as a result of the amount of money that Exxon has been spending on lobbyists and getting this kind of preferential treatment. They spend a lot of money on that, don't they?
They do. I couldn't quote you an exact figure on how much money they spend on lobbying, but obviously money does equal power in politics in a lot of ways, and ExxonMobil has worked intimately with the White House to craft the Bush administration's global warming policy, as well as to influence members of Congress over decades, I'm sure, in terms of global warming issues and oil exploration.
And when the figures that I came across is that they spent $37 million on lobbyists since 2000. $37 million when they're not paying their debt. They're spending
right.
$37 million to push it on Capitol Hill, and $7 million in 2004 alone.
That would not surprise me.
So you said earlier, a few minutes ago, that Exxon is a company of one that wants to pursue this drilling, or has the lobby group to pursue this drilling in the Arctic. And the other companies have kind of bowed out of this due to shareholder pressure and shareholder understanding about that the American public is not down with this. How are the shareholders in Exxon, how are they doing? How are they responding to this?
Well, you know, I'm not quite certain how the shareholders are responding. I know that on the environmental end, there has been a lot of work to inform shareholders of exactly what the company which they're holding money in is doing and working to organize them. And I believe there has been some movement within the shareholders of ExxonMobil, but I'm not exactly certain.
With regard to the trying to put pressure on Exxon to talk about Exxon's their response to greenhouse gas reduction. I mean, despite the fact that we have an administration that denies that such a thing exists, there are responsibilities that these companies are supposed to be meeting. Is Exxon meeting them, and are the shareholders responding to their failure to do so?
Exxon is not meeting its own responsibilities regarding global warming emissions or what it could be doing. It's, unlike other major oil companies, not only is it denying that burning fossil fuels causes global warming, but and spent the money. It's spent $15 million since 1998 on the junk science to obscure facts about global warming. But it has made one sort of attempt to look as though it is working to cut global warming in terms of investing money for research at Stanford. But that money, that research is not only, it costs $100 million for 10 years worth of research, which is just 2 days worth of ExxonMobil's 2004 profits. And this research has absolutely no specific goal. And Exxon has not made a conscious decision to invest any of its profits in renewable energy sources because it claims renewable energy is uneconomic. As for the shareholders, though, I cannot actually speak for them.
Now, with regard to, I mean, when we look at this junk science component of it, the result of this is they're paying people to go out here and to hide the facts from the rest of us about the impact and the effect of global warming. That's what it comes down to, isn't it?
It does come down to that. And what's worse is that they are spreading the money around amongst many different groups so that when they do want to spread a false message regarding global warming or these types of effects, it creates an echo effect because instead of one supposed research group making a statement, instead there's about 10 different groups which will all echo the same message regarding the fact that they can't quite link human activity to global warming, and therefore it makes it sound to the general public as though there is a broad base of consensus around this issue rather than the fact that everyone who is saying this is actually are different mouthpieces for the same corporation.
And they're not speaking any other place but America, because nobody else around the world is buying this.
No, they are doing as much as they can to actually question the IPCC, which is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. It's an authoritative source on global warming, and it is an international source on global warming. Every other countries are very aware of this issue, hence the discussion around the Kyoto Treaty, and know that these types of claims are false.
What are you asking people to do as we expose Exxon? What are you asking people to do?
We are asking people to do three things. We are asking Americans to read past Exxon and Mobil gas stations and do not buy Exxon Mobil gas and products. Don't buy Exxon Mobil stock, or if you own Exxon Mobil stock, use your shares to change the company's environmental policies. And the third thing is, we are asking Americans not to work for ExxonMobil and instead find a more environmentally conscious employer.
And before anybody, you know, has any, you know, don't cry for me, Exxon, tears in their eyes, they did okay for themselves last year and the year before, didn't they?
I believe that they made somewhere around, I don't want to come out with an incorrect number, but hundreds of billions of dollars in money, and I just wish I could find for you the exact figure, but they definitely are probably doing better for themselves than most everyone else.
And it's my understanding that they earned about $25.3 billion in net income in the year 2004.
Yes, that is correct, and that's actually about $3.8 billion more than they earned in 2003.
So, and this is profit. This is profit.
Yep. Their profits are actually going up every year.
Is there someone, Ellen, and this has got to be the last question here, is there someone or some place that those of us that are concerned about the environment, and those of us that want to do the right thing as we drive our vehicles from home to work and all places in between, is there an environmentally friendly type of oil company where we should be buying our gas?
Well, actually, if you go to our Expose Exxon website, which is www.exposeexxon.com with two X's in Expose as well as an Exxon, there is a table that breaks down the different environmental work that the four major oil companies are doing. But in contrast to the fact that ExxonMobil's executives have made the conscious decision to not invest any of its record profits in renewable energy sources.
They're $25.3 billion in profit.
Right, because that would be uneconomic for them, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
BP has spent about $500 million on renewable solar power since 2000 and about $30 million on wind energy over the past 3 years. And that's just one example. With just BP Amoco.
Very good. I want to thank you very much, Ellen Tramell, field organizer for MOPRG, joining us from Kansas City, Missouri. Thank you so much to tell us about Expose Exxon, and what's a website people can go to?
It is www.exposeexxon.com, and there's two X's in Expose as well as an Exxon.
Very good. Ellen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back after this break. Stay with me. We have much to talk about. Check out LizBrown.com. I think you'll be pleased.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by DirecTV. Westbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall Drive and 79 is a report of an accident on the right shoulder. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and 44, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic has returned back to normal. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, that traffic is easing. Eastbound 40 between Clayton Warson and McKnight, still heavy volume there. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into West Florissant. No problems to report there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for heavy volume there. Westbound 5570 at the PSB. That has returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Everything's running smoothly. In both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravel. You can expect paving operations to get a little bit hairy down there with road construction. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by DirecTV. Attention cable subscribers, right now DirecTV is offering a free digital video recorder after a $100 mail-in rebate. Watch your favorite TV shows whenever you like. Call 1-800-DIRECTV and ask how to get your free DirecTV DVR. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly sunny, a high in the lower 90s today. Mostly clear this evening with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 76 and sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Your civil liberties are going down the drain. A new report by the Justice at Stake campaign examines how courts are no longer able to guarantee a loss of civil liberties in the name of national security. If you thought the Patriot Act was bad, just wait till you hear the ramifications of Patriot Act 2. And hear them you will Wednesday morning at 9 with Bert Brandenburg, Executive Director of the Justice at Stake campaign, on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Hi, this is James Wake. I'm inviting you to get aboard the Glory Bound train every Saturday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. right here over radio station WGNU, traveling down track AM 920. Join us. You'll be glad you did.
Tuesday morning, the Wake Up Call welcomes Vivian Stromberg, Executive Director of MADRE, the International Women's Rights Organization. A new constitution is being written right now in Iraq, but the first draft clearly shows a religious leaning that will again leave women subordinate to men. This would be a step back from one of the most progressive status laws in the Middle East. How would American-style democracy be available to the women of Iraq under such law? A frank discussion on this subject with Vivian Stromberg of MADRE, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Okay, people, what do we have?
Male patient trying to get a loan for a car.
They're checking his credit now.
What's the status?
Looks like he's got some credit problems.
Seen this before. What's his credit score?
He doesn't know, doctor.
What? He went for a loan without knowing his credit score?
We're losing the loan!
All right, I'm going to call it.
How's your financial health? Find out with Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your Equifax credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score. All for just $14.95. It's the first step toward healthy credit. So don't wait. Check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-800-4-EQUIFAX now. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Doctor, there's a woman trying to buy a house without her credit score.
It's an epidemic.
Get Score Power from Equifax.com. And while you're there, play the Equifax Live Your Dream sweepstakes for a chance to win $1 million. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, and subject to official rules.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Saturday, July 31st, 2004. Security-wise, the situation is both better and worse all at once. The streets feel a little bit safer because you can see policemen standing around in the more crowded areas and even in some residential areas. There aren't nearly enough to keep things secure, but just seeing someone standing there is a little bit comforting. At the same time, kidnappings have multiplied. It's an epidemic now. Everyone seems to know someone who is abducted. Some are abducted for ransom, while others are abducted for religious or political reasons. The abduction of foreigners is on the increase. People coming and going from Syria and Jordan tell stories of how their convoy or bus or private car was stopped in the middle of the road by men with covered faces and how passports and documents are checked. Should anything suspicious surface, like a British or American passport, the whole thing immediately turns from a check or tafetish to an abduction.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Remember when the president came to Madison County earlier this year and said the judicial hellhole there was causing doctors to leave? Well, a new analysis of the 15 major medical malpractice insurance companies shows that in 2004, the leading insurers took in three times as much in premiums as they paid out in claims. Is somebody lying? Wednesday morning at 8, Joanne Doroshow, executive director of the Center for Justice and Democracy, talks about how doctors are being ganked by the insurance companies, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, you get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And don't forget, my goodness, we have a lot to talk about at 1-877-920-WGNU. I am just horrified. Horrified by this story coming out of Great Britain. And I think that God really gives us an opportunity to get it right. And I think God gives, God provides opportunities and show you up when you're not doing right. I think God engages in actions that make it clear that you're not doing right. And shame you in front of everybody. I think that's one of the things that God does. Saturday night, a gang of men murdered a defenseless, straight-A student wanting to be a lawyer, African child, in Liverpool. And it's not just murder. I've been writing these columns for my website, lizbrown.com, and it seems like every week there is another senseless death or murder to talk about. It's exhausting. This baby, Anthony Walker, 18 years old, 18 years old. He's a college student. They call him a sixth form college student. He was out with his friends. 18 years old. Just minutes before the attack, his girlfriend and his cousin had been subjected to a torrent of racial abuse by a man in a hooded top. The detective that's investigating this said Anthony had spent the evening at the home of his girlfriend and a fellow student at college in Highton. Shortly before 11:30 p.m., they walked to the bus stop outside of Houghton Park Pub so that his girlfriend could get a 10-minute bus ride home to Kirby. But as they waited with Anthony's male cousin, they were racially abused by the men. They left to find another bus stop because they didn't want to want any bother or they didn't want any trouble. But minutes later, as they walked through the park, they were attacked by three or four men, and Anthony was dead. He was studying for his A-levels. Anthony's girlfriend and his cousin saw him get hit. They ran to get help. Minutes later, they returned to find him slumped on the ground with an axe embedded in his head. And not in the back of his head, but in the front of his head, in his face, in his forehead. An axe in his forehead. He died at 5:25 Sunday morning. Now, the detective has said, or chief constable, said that there have been numerous other incidences of racial abuse in the area. But I think what people of African descent remember is the murder of Stephen Lawrence, a black teenager stabbed to death by racists in 1993 at a bus stop. The investigation into Stephen Lawrence's death became of one of Scotland Yard's longest and biggest murder cases. But the case and the trial collapsed in 1996 amidst accusations of institutionalized police racism. Last year, the Crown Prosecution Service announced it failed to find enough evidence to proceed, and no one has ever been convicted in the murder of Stephen Lawrence. But they did shoot that unarmed man five times in the head as they were looking for terrorists. So they are looking, right? 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 My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is my phone number. I'll be back.
Update. Dateline, Washington. The prison system is becoming a place of sexual violence. The Department of Justice says over 8,000 cases of sexual assault were reported in adult prisons, local jails, and juvenile facilities during 2004. Those, again, were the numbers actually reported.
The highest rate of prison rape took place in state-run juvenile prisons, and a large part of those infractions involved guards abusing inmates. U.S. prisons hold about 2.1 million people, but that does not include juvenile offenders. And Dateline New York. A former American soldier who spoke out about a plan the government came up with almost 30 years ago to create the perfect terrorist attack has had his Department of Defense card taken away. Timothy McNiven says he has been threatened and harassed by the government for years. He said he was part of a unit that was stationed in Germany during the 1970s that was supposed to create a perfect terrorist plan in an effort to design safeguards against it. He said his unit came up with one that used airliners to crash into the Twin Towers and even used box cutters smuggled aboard the aircraft to gain control. McNiven says Congress authorized the creation of that plan under the guise of improving airline safety. This is your wake-up call global news update. Tuesday morning, the wake-up call welcomes Vivian Stromberg, executive director of MADRE, the International Women's Rights Organization. A new constitution is being written right now in Iraq, but the first draft clearly shows a religious leaning that will again leave women subordinate to men. This would be a step back from one of the most progressive status laws in the Middle East. How would American-style democracy be available to the women of Iraq under such law? A frank discussion on this subject with Vivian Stromberg of MADRE, Tuesday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on 4 continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
Remember when the president came to Madison County earlier this year and said the judicial hellhole there was causing doctors to leave? Well, a new analysis of the 15 major medical malpractice insurance companies shows that in 2004, the leading insurers took in 3 times as much in premiums as they paid out in claims. Is somebody lying? Wednesday morning at 8, Joanne Doroshow, executive director of the Center for Justice and Democracy, talks about how doctors are being ganked by the insurance companies, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You've heard it since the day you were born.
Someday you'll go to college.
And as you grew, you began to believe what you heard.
You could be anything you want to be.
Until it became something you couldn't ignore.
I can be a teacher.
I can run my own company.
I can change my career.
Now there's a place that can help you reach your dream. College Zone. CollegeZone.com, powered by the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, is the trusted source for college information. You could go to college. Visit CollegeZone.com.
Your civil liberties are going down the drain. A new report by the Justice at Stake campaign examines how courts are no longer able to guarantee a loss of civil liberties in the name of national security. If you thought the Patriot Act was bad, just wait till you hear the ramifications of Patriot Act 2. And hear them you will Wednesday morning at 9 with Bert Brandenburg, executive director of the Justice at Stake campaign, on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
It's time for the moon that excites me. The pleasure thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just as learning as you. It is your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh, love, yes, just an image of you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And we have much, much, much to talk about. It's going to be interesting. The confirmation... Well, no. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about black people dying. Not just in London. Brown people dying, black people dying, not just in Liverpool. Brown people dying, not just in London. I want to talk about Haitian people dying. And, you know, there just seems to be such an ease, such a casualness. About killing black folks. Have you heard this story? Are you feeling this story? Evidence is mounting that the United Nations peacekeepers, that's just, I just want to kind of let you feel that for a second. Peacekeepers shot and killed unarmed civilians, including children. Wait a minute. United Nations peacekeepers shot and killed unarmed civilians, including children, during a recent raid in Haiti. Independent witnesses say up to 23 people were killed during the raid, and get this, many were shot in the head. Jesus. Video footage seen by the Independent shows that bodies of many killed in the capital contains testimonies of witnesses claiming the victims were killed by blue helmets. That's a common description of the UN peacekeepers. Yesterday, the most senior UN peacekeeping, this would have been Thursday, the most senior UN peacekeeping official appealed to the Security Council, admitting that the forces available were not trained for such raids. Footage of the aftermath said that a team led by Haitian-based journalist Kevin Pina. Pina said numerous witnesses said the victims were killed by UN forces. The Haitian National Police were not even there. I think the UN did not bring a single doctor or ambulance with them on this mission. And the fact that they didn't. Surely, said this witness, you would do that whether you were targeting a gang of criminals or civilians. It is interesting that so many victims were shot in the head. This witness says, I think that they did not bring ambulances because they were not shooting to wound. They were shooting to kill. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. When we come back, we're going to be doing Mondays at 9. And we're going to be talking about how much... Y'all shouldn't just be worried about ExxonMobil and their $87 million worth of lobbying money spent on Congress. Foreign monies pay a whole lot of money to influence U.S. policies, too. Ain't that something? We're going to be talking about that. And Mondays at 9, I'm Liz Brown. Check out LizBrown.com. I think you'd like it. Check out, I have a blog. Not only a blog, but a blogitude. Check out Blogitude STL. There's a little present there for Craig Williams. A little present there for Craig. He got an award. He got an award. You need to check it out, Blogitude STL. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Shot and was killed tonight. Remember saying that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
Isn't it funny how sometimes what you think you know and what you actually know don't match? Hi, I'm Ishla McConnell, Human Resource Manager for Sodexo School Services in St. Louis. At Sodexo, we're the leader in food and facilities management. With more than 300,000 employees in 70 countries, we use innovation and a strong sense of community to provide the highest quality service. At Sodexo, our commitment is to our people and our community. Give us a look at www.sodexo.com and explore the world of Sodexo.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush is about to bypass the Senate and appoint John Bolton as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. ABC's Ann Compton reports from the White House.
This is certain to infuriate critics in the Senate who had blocked any vote on the diplomat they consider too abrasive and too disrespectful of the United Nations. But it does mean John Bolton will be in New York at UN headquarters when the September meetings begin and the U.S. government begins pushing for massive UN reforms.
The appointment would expire in January of 2007. Two shuttle astronauts are wrapping up the second spacewalk of the Discovery mission.
It's not easy to do, is it?
Had to replace one of the three gyroscopes on Space Station Alpha. NASA could decide today whether the crew will try to do something about the flap of insulating material sticking out from the shuttle's protective tiles. ABC's John Berman at the Johnson Space Center.
Astronauts tell me that this could be, should be, a relatively simple procedure, but the risk, as one NASA engineer said, is that they go out to fix the gap filler and they could chip a heat tile, which would be something even worse.
The third spacewalk is scheduled for Wednesday. President Bush telephoned the new ruler of Saudi Arabia this morning to express his condolences over the death of King Fahd. The king was 82. The incoming Saudi ambassador to the United States, Turki Al-Faisal, believes there will be no abrupt change in Saudi politics.
Well, I cannot imagine that there will be any particular change in that policy, but rather a continuation of the policies undertaken by the late King Fahd.
The king suffered a debilitating stroke 10 years ago and had been in poor health. His half-brother, Crown Prince Abdullah, has been named the new monarch. Crude oil prices rose today above $61 a barrel with the news.
This is ABC News.
All right, what do we have?
Male patient trying to get a loan for a car.
They're checking his credit now.
What's the status?
Looks like he's got some credit problems.
Seen this before. What's his credit score?
He doesn't know, doctor.
What? He went for a loan without knowing his credit score?
We're losing the loan!
All right, I'm going to call it.
How's your financial health? With Score Power from Equifax, you get your credit report and credit score. It's the first step to healthy credit.
Doctor, there's a woman trying to buy a house without her credit score.
It's an epidemic.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Okay, Sandra, are you ready for your home's makeover?
Yes!
Okay, we're done.
But you just changed a light bulb.
But wait.
Wow, the walls look brighter. The furniture looks fabulous. The colors are more vibrant.
That's Philips Natural Light at work. Philips Natural Light gives you remarkable light, bringing out the true colors in your decor. It's a makeover with a twist. See what's possible in your home with Philips Natural Light. Philips, sense and simplicity.
Come in and save 10% on all Philips Natural Light products at the Home Depot this month.
The British investigation into the London bombings is growing wider as police try to track down all the suspects involved in planning the attacks and carrying them out.
Police have four key suspects in custody in connection with the botched bombings in London, and they're seeking the extradition of a fifth man who fled to Italy. Hussein Osman was arrested with his brother in an apartment in Rome, traced through cell phone calls. But his Italian lawyer is quoted as saying he never meant to kill anyone, insisting he only meant to frighten people. But that's disputed by Scotland Yard, police insisting the devices were meant to detonate. There have also been more arrests as police cast their net wider in the hunt for the would-be bomber's associates. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
Once again, our top story, President Bush is right now announcing that he'll appoint John Bolton as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. That appointment will expire in January of 2007. Mr. Bolton is standing to one side of the president, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, to the other. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. In the news in your 9 o'clock hour, a reward is being increased until the end of the month to find the killer of a rural Illinois woman. $5,000 has been added to the existing $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of whoever is responsible for the death of 22-year-old Angela Lee. The young woman was found bludgeoned to death in her East Gillespie home 2 years ago. Lee's 4-year-old son was reportedly at home at the time of the murder. Anyone with any information is asked to call Macoupin County Sheriff's Department at 217-584-3135. Several area residents are displaced after an early morning fire in North County apartment complex. Firefighters responded to a blaze at Brighton Apartments along the 2700 block of Rottingdean Drive just after 6 a.m. this morning. No serious injuries were reported. There's no word on the cause. Meanwhile, a fire at Friendship Village Complex in South County remains under investigation as well. Firefighters were called to burning building in the complex late yesterday afternoon. Dozens of residents had to be evacuated. One person was treated for smoke inhalation. A State Department study finds that leukemia rates aren't higher in the Weldon Springs area. Deborah Markinson, a spokesperson with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, explains that the study was completed.
Because of the heightened concerns that we were aware of in the St. Charles County area and the Weldon Spring area, we did a review of the data that we have in our registry and looked at the rates of leukemia and all cancers.
Markinson says the data showed that cancer rates in the Weldon Spring area are no higher than any other parts of Missouri. Concerns about high cancer rates in the area stem from contamination of the Atomic Energy Commission's conversion of uranium ore and thorium between 1958 and 1966. The U.S. Department of Energy began their cleanup at the site in 1987. An expected audit of Metro Transit gets underway today. Missouri Governor Matt Blunt has asked State Auditor Claire McCaskill for an audit in response to concerns that the region's public transportation system is $126 million over budget for the cross-county Metrolink project. McCaskill says taxpayers have the right to know how their money is being spent and why the project is so far over budget. The audit will take about a year to complete. This hour's news has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-DONATE for a hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800, the number 2, donate, or you can visit taxdeduction.com for more details. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by DirecTV. Northbound 55 between Reavers Barracks and 44, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Lindbergh, everything's running smoothly. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Clayton, nothing to report there. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge all the way to New Florissant Road up in North County, everything is smooth. In both directions, 40 at Hanley, that is freed up this hour, and no longer are you going to run into any traffic tie-ups there. Westbound 5570 at the PSB, everything looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side to Laclede's Landing is on the move. In both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravel, you've got paving operations, and also southbound Lindbergh at Lee May, look for road construction. The left lane will be closed. And eastbound 40 at Vandeventer exit is closed through August due to construction work. You can use Kings Highway, Market, or Grand exits to get around the construction area there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by DirecTV. Attention cable subscribers. Right now, DirecTV is offering a free digital video recorder. After a $100 mail-in rebate, watch your favorite TV shows whenever you'd like. Call 1-800-DIRECTV and ask how to get your free DirecTV DVR. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, mostly sunny today, a high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76, both under clear skies. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Mondays at 9, her special guest host this hour is Julia DeLara. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Thank you. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. And because this is Monday and because it is 9 o'clock, this is, of course, Mondays at 9. In the last hour, we talked about exposing Exxon, the Exxon Valdez, and how much money this extraordinary corporation is making at the expense of all of us. And there is a pattern. If it's not a pattern, there's a formula. You just don't wake up one morning with $26 billion on the profit side of your corporation. You just don't wake up one morning like that. There is a formula that you engage in to get those types of products in these tough times. And that formula, as Exxon knows, includes money spent on lobbyists. Why do you spend money on lobbyists? Because lobbyists influence policy. Why do you want lobbyists that influence policy? Because policy determines the rules by which your company operates. And as scary as that is, and as relentless as that is, and as frightening as it is, that Exxon knows this formula and takes advantage of it to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars every year. McDonald's takes advantage of it. Walmart takes advantage of it. And they put their money where their lobbyists are in Washington, D.C., and they gain advantage in doing so. The scary part of it is that even though those companies do it, there are other companies that do it, and those companies don't live here. How's it feel to understand, to walk around with the understanding that there are foreign companies that pay money to our government and get stuff to their advantage when we as taxpayers pay money to the same government and we don't get what those foreign companies get? We don't get the advantage that those foreign companies have. How's that make you feel? How's that make you feel? Listen, we need to talk about this. We need to examine these policies. We need to examine the impact of these policies. We need to talk about this. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining me this morning Julia DeLaura, Special Assistant and Researcher for the Center for Public Integrity. Julia is joining us from Washington, D.C. Julia, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am very good. Say it ain't so. Foreign companies are paying to influence our policies.
Yes, that's true.
How does this work?
Well, the lobbying industry in Washington is a billion-dollar industry. The Center for Public Integrity, my employer, did a study on all lobbying spending in the past 6 years, which is the only time period for which records are available, and found that about $13 billion was spent during that time by companies in the United States, companies abroad, by local governments, by universities in the U.S., because lobbying is a very effective way to get the attention of congressmen and members of the executive branch who control legislation and regulation that affects these companies and their profits and the rules under which they can operate.
Surely, Julia, there have to be extra rules. If there are extra rules that apply to people
that come from other countries trying to get into the United States, and there's extra attention applied to examining those people and their intentions for when they get up in here. Surely there must be rules regarding foreign companies and their use of lobbyists.
There are extra rules for foreign countries and their lobbyists. Foreign countries, foreign governments and political parties and politicians have to file much more rigorous disclosure forms about all their activities that fall under the category of lobbying within the United States, and those go through the Department of Justice. But since the Lobbying Disclosure Act of 1995 reworked the lobbying rules and the system which keeps track of those companies and organizations that are lobbying in the United States, foreign companies have been treated the same as domestic companies. They file the same regulation, the same forms. They are bound by the same poorly enforced regulations. So they're right in there in the mix.
How can that be so? I mean, what's the consequence of not having of having foreign companies having to abide by just the same rules as if they were an American homegrown and bred company? What are the consequences of not having those rules?
Well, I think the consequences are less. It's not just that it's foreign companies. It's the companies in general that are lobbying the United States. There's very poor oversight of what's going on. The agency that keeps track of this, the Senate Office of Public Record, doesn't have the resources or the personnel to really do a good job at keeping up with the companies that register, what they're really doing, whether they're filing all their forms.
But wait a minute, Julia, I have to digress for just a moment.
Certainly.
We live in this country at a time where we are being told as citizens that it is imperative for the federal government to be able to keep track of us.
Yes.
That we have to, they want to know what money I give to, who I give my money to. They want to know if that's an American organization or a non-American organization. That organization is required to tell the government that I've given them money, and my government can make an assessment about me or even charge me if they believe that I'm giving my money to a philanthropist organization or a humanitarian organization that is foreign. Are you telling me that the same government that wants to keep track of me and my little dollars is not keeping track of foreign companies that come here and make money off of us?
Well, it's keeping track of them nominally, yes, but not very well.
Not like they're trying to keep track of us.
No, that's not really. And the answer is probably that these companies, the foreign companies that are spending great deals of money, are not strangers to the politicians and the executive officials in the government. They're large countries that have often extensive operations within the United States. These are big corporations. Sometimes they give campaign money to candidates. There's not a lot of scrutiny on them, and it's just not a priority.
And it's my understanding that back in 2004, the Justice Department said that there was a problem with the database that serves to keep track of these activities.
The Justice Department runs the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which mm-hmm. keeps track of actual foreign countries mm-hmm. and their politicians. And yes, there are some issues with that database and its accessibility and whether it's at all stable. But foreign companies are all controlled through the Senate Office of Public Record, which, although it is in some degrees of disrepair and is very inaccessible and not very well kept up with, as far as I know, there's not a great deal of attention on any level to changing that process to provide more oversight of foreign companies.
Who are some of these companies, and what kind of, when we're talking about them spending money to influence U.S. policy, what kind of money are we talking about? Who are the companies, and what kind of money are we talking about?
Well, a lot of the names are familiar. The total figure was $624 million over the period from 1998 to 2004, to mid-2004. That is the time period for which the Senate Office of Public Record has forms tracking lobbies, the lobbying activity in the country. In that 6.5-year period, foreign companies, which is companies with headquarters in foreign nations, spent more than $620 million lobbying the federal government. And a lot of the companies' names are familiar, companies like Daimler Chrysler of Germany, which, of course, has a lot of operations within the United States. British Petroleum was the top spending company. GlaxoSmithKline, the pharmaceutical company in the United Kingdom. They all spend money to get legislation and regulation and policy in their favor because they do a great deal of business within and with the United States. They can't afford to let that go and hope that things turn out in their favor when lobbying is so effective to make sure that it turns out in their favor.
Can we say, like looking at a company like GlaxoSmithKline, can we say that they have gotten things that turned out in their favor?
Well, you know, you can never say for sure.
I mean, there's not like a bright line that said that because we gave this, we got that, but have they gotten things that have worked out well for them?
Well, they have, certainly. GlaxoSmithKline is a great example. It's the second highest spending foreign company in that period, and it's also a member of PhRMA, which is the pharmaceutical industry's sort of consortium, lobbying consortium. They both spent a great deal of money lobbying on the issue of Medicare and Medicaid as Congress was reevaluating those policies for their legislation that came out, I believe, last year. And when Congress did revamp the Medicare and Medicaid prescription drug benefits and a great deal of those programs, the pharmaceutical industry came out very well. They got a lot of, I'm not sure the exact figure, but there's billions of dollars of profit projected for the pharmaceutical industry as a result of the policy that Congress enacted, on which the pharmaceutical industry lobbied very heavily.
And who are the big leaders in the amount of monies that they spend? Who are the big companies? The companies that are the biggest spenders?
Well, like I mentioned, DaimlerChrysler, GlaxoSmithKline, and British Petroleum are the top three. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of international companies that, you know, very familiar names, like Rolls-Royce or Honda.
And it's not the Hondas, it's not just the Rolls Royce people, but these companies are also moving outside of legislators and moving to the Department of Defense also to lobby, aren't they?
Yes, that's true. One of the most lobbied, what is very successful to lobby. There's a lot of money to be made in contracts. The government has become increasingly friendly to outsourcing its activity. And a lot of companies lobby the Department of Defense for the very considerable contracts that they give out on a yearly basis, and particularly in this current time when there's a lot of defense activity. A number of foreign companies lobby the Defense Department, and I think there were 16 companies that lobbied the Defense Department that ended up getting contracts awarded without competition, meaning that contract was given to them and no other companies bid on it for some reason.
Well, when a foreign company comes into this country mm-hmm. and begins lobbying, is the definition of the lobbying that they do similar to the definition or is the same as the definition of lobbying that, say, like a Walmart does?
It's very likely. Lobbying, the definition of lobbying in terms of what compels you to register with the Senate Office of Public Record is any contact with a government official or their staff above a certain level with the intent to influence legislation or policy. Foreign companies, you know, they play very much by the same game. They do the same things. They even hire the same lobbying companies, the same five lobbying firms that get the most business in the overall industry. These are firms here in Washington that have just dozens and dozens of lobbyists that spend all day, you know, they cultivate these ties and they push the agenda for their various clients. The same five companies that lead the industry overall also got the most money from foreign companies. So foreign companies know exactly who to go to, who knows their way around, who knows what to do to get their voice heard.
Is there a difference, Julia, between influencing policy and influencing the government? And should we be concerned about foreign companies having the opportunity to maybe influence the government?
Well, I think that influencing policy is influencing the government.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if spending money, whether it's a foreign company or a domestic company or any entity can spend money to get the ear of a congressman or an executive, a director of an executive agency, that's influencing the government outside of the system that we all expect and, you know, imagine that we're comfortable with.
And should we be concerned about, I keep coming back to this, access that foreign, even though they're not foreign governments, because they're located in foreign governments, because they're mostly populated by people that are in that government, shouldn't we be concerned about that, that these companies are coming in and having an influence on policy?
I think absolutely. To be fair and to fully get the picture of it, a lot of the companies that are foreign companies are foreign headquartered companies that do have U.S. operations. So the people that are lobbying the U.S. government might be affiliated with the U.S. branch, and they are, you know, there are U.S. employees involved, and they're operating under U.S. policy. But yes, definitely, whenever anyone is able to buy access to the government and government officials and policymakers, I think it's a concern, and it, you know, that they're foreign companies that are influencing domestic policy, that's obviously of concern as well.
And in terms of one of the things that I would like to talk about as well is what our legislators, how our legislators are responding to this. Is there an articulated concern by our legislators, House or Senate, that we have this kind of influence by foreign companies, or is it the same business as usual because, you know, lobbyist is a lobbyist is a lobbyist?
Since we put out this Lobby Watch project in early April, we have seen some reaction from some House representatives, and there has been some discussion about reworking the Lobbying Disclosure Act, readjusting the rules, adding stricter monitoring procedures for foreign companies, as well as for domestic companies that just have operated for a long time without a lot of scrutiny.
Well, I mean, because that's if we're going to talk about what the foreign companies are doing, we have to talk about what the domestic companies are doing, and that's got to make it difficult for politicians who receive a whole lot of money from these lobbyists to even instigate a conversation like that.
Absolutely. It's not a high priority for Congress to go after lobbyists for many reasons. It's just not on the agenda, but also a lot of former congressmen make their post-Congress careers as lobbyists. It's incredibly effective. It's called going through the revolving door, kind of the metaphor for leaving government and then turning around and being paid to lobby your former colleagues.
And getting paid well.
Yes, lobbyists do very well for themselves.
We're going to take a break, folks. I am talking to Julia DeLora, Special Assistant and Researcher for Center for Public Integrity. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about foreign companies and the fact that they pay to influence U.S. policy. More than $620 million has been spent by foreign companies to lobby our good government. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Check out LizBrown.com. She's launched. LizBrown.com. LizBrown.com. Check it out. Check out my column, Through Brown Eyes. Check out, we don't have a blog. We have a Blogitude. Blogitude and Blogitude STL. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with me.
So hard.
You don't have to travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the West Wing. Just listen to Herb Steck online at WGNU.net.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Wednesday, September 15th, 2004. September 11th. He sat there reading the paper. As he reached out for the cup in front of him for a sip of tea, he could vaguely hear the sound of an airplane overhead. It was a bright, fresh day, and there was much he had to do. But the world suddenly went black. A colossal explosion and then crushed bones under the weight of concrete and iron. Screams rose up around him, men, women, and children. Shards of glass sought out tender, unprotected skin. He thought of his family and he tried to rise, but something inside of him was broken. There was a rising heat and the pungent smell of burning flesh mingled sickeningly with the smoke and the dust. And suddenly it was blackness. 9/11, 2001, New York, World Trade Center? No. 9/11, 2004, Fallujah, an Iraqi home.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Your civil liberties are going down the drain. A new report by the Justice at Stake campaign examines how courts are no longer able to guarantee a loss of civil liberties in the name of national security. If you thought the Patriot Act was bad, just wait till you hear the ramifications of Patriot Act 2. And hear them you will Wednesday morning at 9 with Bert Brandenburg, Executive Director of the Justice at Stake campaign, on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Hello, this is Brother Willie Loudon. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 and Let's Praise Him broadcast. Good gospel music and the latest church news to help you start your Sunday morning. So tune in on the Let's Praise Him broadcast every Sunday morning at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 8 years old.
I am 40... Wait, is this important?
I'm in the second grade.
I work in an office.
I learn a lot of stuff.
I file papers, read emails, and...
I have recess twice a day.
I also have a special little friend.
I have a favorite grandma and a special lady friend.
I am a mentor to an amazing little girl.
I like her. Her name's Carol.
Her name's Lakeisha.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis public schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
I know how to say I love you in Spanish. Te amo.
My name is Craig Skubik. I'm the host of The Adjustment Zone every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Along with my co-host, Dr. Shane May, we provide an insight to the advantages and benefits of chiropractic care by answering your questions and listening to your comments. We also take your email. We cover everything from improving your overall health to the science behind it. That's The Adjustment Zone. With me, Craig Skubik, and Dr. Shane May, every Saturday afternoon at 3, only on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and because it's Monday, it's 9 o'clock, it's Mondays at 9, and our guest this morning is Julia DeLora. She's a special assistant and researcher for Center for Public Integrity. And Julia, welcome back.
Hello.
And we want to take a couple of calls here.
Okay.
As we are talking about foreign companies paying to influence U.S. policies. Marty, you have a question or comment for our guest, Julia?
Yes, Liz. Good morning to you and your guests. I'd like to make, I've observed ever since, you know, this war in Iraq has come up, the rules have slowly been changed for the rules of engagement or starting a war or engaging a war. We're supposed to go through Congress, but our president has just went through all that and just started this war. And then we noticed that slowly but surely international interests have been taking over, like the water and
you're talking about like the our water or other people?
Our water. Mm-hmm. We're selling, which it's almost like our congressmen and people in authority in Washington are slowly but surely selling us out.
Like the PUCA regulations that have been eliminated as a result of the energy bill.
Right.
Okay.
And they're slowly selling us out to foreign interests to cut a deal for themselves. And while we're sitting up here fighting over the crumbs and everything else that we can get a hold of, the people in Washington are slowly making deals, selling out everything in the United States and getting richer while the poor and the working folks are trying to figure out any way they can to survive. And they're being charged with everything under the sun, where all these big companies and everything, the rules have been bent or changed to protect them and allow them to get away with whatever, because they've been doing it in foreign countries for years, you know.
All right.
The way they work them.
Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome.
And Julia, you feel that?
Yes, I think one of the most important things about understanding the lobbying industry is just that fact that with enough money, you can buy access and influence to the government, and it does give corporations with a lot of money, both domestic and foreign, an upper hand on getting the policy they'd like to see, and the average everyday citizen really doesn't have that option and doesn't have that ear of the government the way that corporations can get.
And doesn't it seem like another point that Marty made was, doesn't it seem like it just seemed the speed at which this access is being created and opportunities being created for foreign companies and foreign interests, doesn't it feel like that things are moving faster than they were 10 years ago?
Well, lobbying is not a new activity. It's been around since the beginning of the country, really, and lobbyists have held a very strong role in the way that government policy went and the way that everything is run in this town for quite some time. But certainly the world is moving faster and faster. So,
and the rules have been changed to allow them to have more access.
Certainly this is I'm not sure that you can say that the lobbyist rules have changed to allow them more access.
Well, I mean, the rules that used to govern foreign companies and ownership, those rules have been...
Oh, that's correct.
Largely eliminated.
That's correct. They're now right on the same page as the domestic companies. They used to be under a bit more scrutiny as foreign countries are.
Let's take another caller. Jerry, you have a question or comment for Julia Delore? We're talking about foreign companies paying to influence U.S. policy. Yes, Jerry.
Liz, why do you all call lobbyists? They're not lobbyists. Mm-hmm. If the policeman stops you on the street and you offer him $50, keep them giving you a ticket. They call that a bribe. So why you want to put the name lobbyist on a bribe to dress it up to make it look honest and clean?
Well,
that's all it is a bribe.
Jerry, I don't think that's fair. I didn't pick that name.
No, I didn't say you did. I'm not talking about you personally.
I understand.
I'm saying when people call lobbyists, they're not lobbyists, they're bribery.
Thanks.
And they want to clean it up to make it seem like lobbyists. Lobbyists, nothing but a bribe our congressmen, and they have sold America out. The president has sold America out. And the people sitting back so crazy, they don't even know what's going on. They live in the la-la land.
Thanks for your call.
I'm sorry. Yes, it is. We have been sold down the drain by our own government, our own politicians, who sit up and lie to us, shake our hands, kiss our babies, and slam the door in your face at the same time. They're not lobbyists. They're John Gotti, Al Capone mentality. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Is there a bright line of distinction between those that pay somebody to do something that they want and what a lobbyist gets to do for legal?
Well, I'm sure that most lobbyists would shudder at the thought of that they were actually bribing congressmen. But most lobbyists characterize what they do as educating them. But, you know, there's no denying the fact that money spent lobbying is spent with the express intent of changing the policy through your actions. So people can draw whatever conclusion they like about whether that money is being spent, you know, in good faith.
454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is my number. My name is Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. We are talking about foreign companies paying to influence U.S. policy. Demetra, you have a question or comment for our guest, Julia DeLora.
Hello?
Yes,
Liz, I have a question, two questions for your guest. The first question is, how is your organization funded, and who does the funding? The second question or statement is that I think organizations like yours are allowed to exist by our government because I can't understand that because you're so critical and exposing the nefarious activities of the government, why they allow you to exist. And my feeling is that the people who join your organization are sympathetic to the issues that you raise. It's an easy way for our government to get future hit lists of people they want to go after in case of emergency. I'll hang up and listen to your answer and statement. Thank you.
The Center for Public Integrity is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. We don't accept funding from private corporations or governments or labor unions, any of the organizations or entities that we report on. So that's that.
So in respect to the access of people that support the companies that you're talking about, that access is not possible.
Are you saying influence to the center by companies, and I'm not sure.
The companies that you are exposing, their access to your organization.
Correct, because we don't accept funding from any private, from any of government organizations or companies or any of the special interests that we report on.
And with regard to the observation made by Dimitri that you would not be able to exist if the government did not want you to be here, how do you respond to that?
I really couldn't speak to that. I know we're here.
Well, I guess the call is kind of like an assessment of disappointment, maybe in terms of all of the things that are going bad or wrong out here. But there are some organizations that exist out here that are trying to expose some things, right?
I think there are lots of organizations and people within the United States that are interested in making sure that the government runs appropriately and efficiently in a just way for all citizens.
And in terms of finding out about who the Center for Public Integrity is, how would people do that?
The Center for Public Integrity is, we publish primarily on our website, which is www.publicintegrity.org.
And how long have you all been around?
The center's been in existence for almost 15 years now.
And we're going to take a break. I am talking to Julia DeLora. She's the special assistant and researcher for the Center for Public Integrity. We're talking about foreign companies paying to influence U.S. policy. More than $620 million has been spent lobbying the federal government. This is Mondays at 9. And, Julia, when I come back, I kind of would like for you to lay out with a little bit of specificity the rules that used to be in place that governed foreign companies and their ability to lobby.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be back with Julia DeLora. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
To all those who've been trying to reach the top of a hill on that ladder of success.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and never clean your gutters again? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is, leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free, no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System by United Homecraft, one of St. Louis' oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the iTex Trade Exchange. Your iTex trade dollars are welcome.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Bombay. The misery continues in India as torrential rains cause flooding never before seen. The death toll now stands at close to 1,000 from flooding, mudslides, and building collapses. In addition, a stampede of people last Thursday, triggered by fears that a dam was about to break, resulted in another 18 deaths. The shanty town of Mumbai in the state of Maharashtra recorded 37 inches of rainfall in a 24-hour period, the most ever recorded in a single day in India. Rough seas complicated the rescue of over 300 men from an offshore oil drilling platform, but 10 people are known dead and many more are still missing. And Dateline Baghdad. Government officials say they are considering a coupon program to start rationing fuel in Iraq because of a shortage. Residents have to stand in line for up to 2 hours trying to get gas for their vehicles. Regular pump prices are a penny a gallon. But if purchased on the black market, the cost rises to 33 cents a gallon. The demand for fuel has risen because over 1 million cars have been imported into the country since Saddam Hussein was taken out of power. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
Your civil liberties are going down the drain. A new report by the Justice at Stake campaign examines how courts are no longer able to guarantee a loss of civil liberties in the name of national security. If you thought the Patriot Act was bad, just wait till you hear the ramifications of Patriot Act 2. And hear them you will Wednesday morning at 9 with Bert Brandenburg, Executive Director of the Justice at Stake campaign, on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Ooh, gee, baby, ain't I good to you? That's appropriate music coming in. I am talking to Julia DeLora, and we're talking about foreign companies paying money, American dollars, to influence American policy. More than $620 million spent lobbying federal, our good government. And Julia, on the way out, I asked about the rules are different now for foreign companies. What were the rules like, and again, when did they change?
It came into effect in 1995 with the Lobbying Disclosure Act that changed all of the procedures for monitoring lobbying, foreign and domestic. I'm not totally positive on all the specifics that applied to foreign companies before that, but a good contrast is what applies to foreign governments now. A domestic or foreign company that registers as having completed lobbying activities only has to disclose the branches that were lobbying, the branches of government. It has to disclose an issue code of what issues were lobbying, but this can be as vague as defense, and it has to disclose the amount of money spent. In contrast, foreign governments and political figures and political parties of foreign countries have to go through a much more rigorous disclosure through the Foreign Agents Registration Act. They have to disclose exactly what happened with every transaction. For example, if there's a conversation with a given reporter or with a given, you know, congressional staff member, that has to be disclosed. They have to say what was talked about, when, and why. Everything is very carefully monitored. So you can see there is a method of monitoring lobbying that applies a lot more scrutiny.
And what is the rationale used for having a different form of scrutiny for foreign companies? What's the rationale by our government?
I can't say for sure. The Foreign Agents Registration Act came into existence during World War II to monitor German propaganda in the United States. I think that the issue of foreign government with its own distinct agenda as separate from the United States is seen as a little more deserving of scrutiny than a foreign company that might have operations within the United States and, you know, be concerned about this or that business law or tax regulation. They're really not dealing with an issue that's very different than a domestic company is dealing with when they're lobbying. I think that's the rationale.
So when we look at the companies that are defined as foreign, and by the way, what is the definition of foreign?
For the Center for Public Integrity study, we put as foreign spent money all the money spent by companies with headquarters in foreign governments, in foreign nations, and their subsidiaries. So lobbying, for example, spent by Honda North America, although that is the North American branch of Honda and is headquartered in the United States, we counted that money spent as being, you know, attached because it's affiliated with Honda's headquarters in Japan.
So how many of the companies that the Center for Public Integrity that you all included in the survey and the study, how many companies didn't have any, like a Daimler Chrysler?
I'm not sure, but there were almost 80 companies. So there are a lot of companies that are truly, you know, foreign companies, you know, operating entirely in other, you know, in their home nation that are just interested in the U.S. trade law or something, you know, that has to do with their business relationship with the United States and not with having operations here.
Do you have any examples of those that we might be familiar with?
No, I'm not sure. For example, there is a company called, they're large oil companies, a company called Total SA, which I believe is in South Africa, spent a great deal of money. You know, a lot of companies, other contracting companies in other countries spent money to get, you know, contracts from the Department of Defense to, you know, complete work in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Were there any companies that stood out in the mind and the study to the mind of the Center for Public Integrity as problematic or ones that we should keep our eyes on?
No, I don't think that we sought to say any company is more or less problematic. I think in general, any company that's spending this amount of money deserves scrutiny, that there's so much being put into influencing the policy that's coming out of our government, and we often don't know what's going into that and what are the motives of the people spending that money and what's adding up to the final policy that comes out to us. And I think we think that any company spending that kind of money and any activity of this sort that's under the radar needs to be paid more attention.
And when you look at this study came out in May, and you say that there have been some members of Congress that have kind of responded to this. Has anybody responded in terms of any kind of legislation?
I believe that legislation was introduced in the House of Representatives to tighten the rules of the Lobbying Disclosure Act. But as I said before, you know, keeping up with lobbyists is not a high priority for most members of Congress because lobbyists are people they're familiar with, they're people they depend on to go through their daily routine, and often they're their former colleagues. And
and also, if you're looking forward to the end of your career as a congressperson, that's a possible job spot there
for you. You might be in a very different position in 2 years.
There you go. Let's get to another question here. Quick question here, please.
How you doing?
I'm fine. You have a question for our guest, Julia DeLora.
Yeah. You know, if we are being hurt so bad by these politicians, and we know that we are being hurt, and if voting meant so much, why do people keep putting these people back in office? You know, when you look at the Democrats and Republicans, some people are diehard Republicans, even though they know that George Bush is wrong and what he's doing. They still wants to vote for him and still support him, and knowing that they're getting hurt.
Okay.
Why can't all people see that?
Okay, thanks for your question. What is the, do you find out there, Julia, that we, that American people are getting this particular issue?
I think that this is something that the people do need to be more aware of. It's something that they need to have in mind when they are thinking about who's representing them and what policies are coming out of Congress and out of the executive branch. The Center for Public Integrity really believes that people need to have access to this information and to understand it so that we can be active citizens and active participants in our government's activities.
And Julia DeLora, where, again, can people find information about this study?
Everything about the Center for Public Integrity and the Lobby Watch report on the federal lobbying industry can be found at www.publicintegrity.org. That's all one word.
And one of the cool things about the Center for Public Integrity, you can go and you can punch your state in and you can find out who controls the media in your state.
There's all kinds of great stuff on the website. It's definitely worth checking out.
It truly is. And I want to thank you very much, Julia DeLora, Special Assistant and Researcher for the Center for Public Integrity, joining us from Washington, D.C. Thank you for being on Mondays at 9.
Thanks for having me.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown coming to the end of the show for Monday. It's August 1st. You know what that means. It means that LizBrown.com is here. It's on. It's on. Check it out, LizBrown.com. We don't have a blog. Oh, no, that's not what we have. We have a blogitude, okay? You know, I got an attitude. We need to have a blogitude. We have a blogitude and blogitude STL, where we cover the issues concerning confronting the city of St. Louis and beyond the state of Missouri. So check out LizBrown.com. My new column is up through Brown Eyes. You need to check it out. They Never Got To is the name of this week's column. And the blanket drive, you want to get involved in that, get to LizBrown.com. So much more, so much more. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Stay strong.
They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
privilege. WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush says it's too important a job to leave vacant anymore.
Today I've used my constitutional authority to appoint John Bolton to serve as America's ambassador to the United Nations.
The president made the announcement at the White House an hour ago.